It's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning. Today we'll have the latest poll numbers for President Bush, and we'll laugh. And we'll have the contents of his palm pilot as well, the schedule. And plus, we'll check the fax machine for today's liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. We're going to talk to a journalist in Iraq today as well. And right now I'm joined by Mark Riley. Good morning, Mark Riley.
Good morning, Mark Maron. How you doing?
I'm all right, man. I went to bed at like 6 o'clock last night. You know why?
Why?
Why not? What was going on in my life? You know what I mean? My wife left town on Sunday. Monday, yesterday, I was like, it's going to be okay, man. She's gone, but I'm okay, man. I'm okay. I'm just going to go to the gym and do yoga. I went and did yoga. Man, you know what? Yoga's good, but sometimes it's sad.
Why?
I don't know, because you're just sitting around looking, like, you look at a room full of people bending themselves into pretzels, and you're like, this is what we're hanging on to? This is going to make our life okay? This is the answer here?
This is what's going to make your life longer. Isn't that what it's supposed to be?
Right. Well, you know, usually I'm like, yeah, great, a long life, until, like, last night about 5:30, I'm like, what's the point? I'm going to sleep. I can TiVo what's on TV. What am I going to do right now? So I go to sleep. I sleep for 8 hours. I get up at 2, do my homework, right? Then I get in the car, right? And the thing is, I get in my car, and the driver, the dude who drives, the Greek guy, I work with a Greek car service out in Astoria, he had taken me and my wife to Peter Luger's the other night, right?
Oh, okay.
So we start talking, him and I, and he's like, do you have a good time the other night? I'm like, yeah. And I told him that was my wife, and she's in L.A. He goes, you see her a lot, yes? And I'm like, yeah, as much as possible. He goes, don't you better. You better see her a lot. And I'm like, what are you saying, dude? She's a very pretty woman, you know, and if you don't see her a lot, you know what'll happen. I'm like, dude. What are you trying to do to me? I'm trying to go to work. So now I'm sitting here thinking, like, oh, my God, am I seeing my wife enough? Who's at my house right now? What's going on? My wife's not like that. But, you know, when they plant seeds like that in your head, when some guy who's just a guy.
Some guy you've never met before. Some guy whose opinion you may not even respect about anything else in the world. But he says, your wife is beautiful. You better watch out. And suddenly it's like, oh, my God, what has she done?
Well, yeah, no, I trust her, you know.
Sure you do.
Today. I No, of course I do. Of course, you have to. You know, I can't live my life like that.
I know. Look, I've been through what you're going through. Okay?
No, I mean, I'm pretty cool with it. I talk to her all the time. Do you know what I mean?
I know.
I'm going there Friday. We've got a new cat. We got a new kitten, a little calico named Moxie, who I hear is making quite an impression in the neighborhood.
Uh-oh.
And, you know, but, and then I go, like, so that, okay, on top of me going to sleep early because I was filled with despair for the planet and, of course, for me.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, the guy talks to me about my wife. And then I go to Dunkin' Donuts. And, you know, thank God Crazy Girl said hi.
Well,
last week, you know, she said hi once, and then there was a day where she didn't say hi, and I had that moment of, like, how come Crazy Girl doesn't like me today? So today at Dunkin' Donuts, she got all lit up and with her weird sort of, like, strange, like, 1960s mascara and her big bouffant hairdo, and her.
Oh, wow.
She looked up from her stack of legal paper and her pens and gave me a big smile that was scary but yet reassuring in some weird way.
I'm suing the government!
Oh, I don't know what she's up to, man.
They owe me money. Not only that. They're broadcasting radio waves into my brain.
Yeah. No, she's all right. You know, I mean, I haven't talked to her. The only time she spoke at Dunkin' Donuts was when I was in there, and she went, what day is it? What day is it? Is it Friday? Is it Friday? And I said, yeah, today in the morning, it was Friday. So today is Friday. She's like, it goes by so fast. I'm like, yes, it does. I got to go now. But, you know, I'm glad she's okay. So you've been through this before, though, with the long-distance relationship thing?
It's the jealousy thing. The long-distance relationship thing I really haven't been through. But the idea that, you know, you start wondering, even if you trust somebody, you start saying, oh, man, wait a minute, man, she's been out of the house too long.
You know,
she only went, she said she was going to the corner for a glass of milk and, you know, for a quart of milk, and she's been gone an hour. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I used to be like that. Where are you going?
Yeah.
The kitchen? Are you coming back?
Yeah.
But
after a while, you kind of silence those demons one way or the other.
Of course.
You kind of get laid back. Well, go ahead. You want to go for the rest of the day? Have fun.
You get laid back, but you also know that in your life, you've done as many bad things as you're going to do. So, you know, you got to figure some of that karma is going to come back, and you're going to have to accept it. The weird thing is, you know, like, my wife is so hot that sometimes when I'm having a jealous fantasy in the middle, I go, wow, it's kind of hot. You know, like, she's so good-looking that if I'm thinking that she's having sex with somebody else, I start off angry, but then I'm like, well, it ain't too bad.
You know, you're a deviant. You know that.
Is that crazy, though? I mean, like, I think it's one way to disarm jealousy is, like, you know, realize where it's like, wow, man, what if she's, like, doing that guy? And I'm like, Wow, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Yeah, I'm gonna save that one for later. But I love her, and that's all there is to it. So now let's get to the world that is slowly coming unhinged, and you know, very violent and horrible things. Let's move from my love of my wife into the horrendous tragedy that is Iraq.
Iraq, yeah. Well, it's a day after the surprise transfer of power in Iraq. The world, I think, is still, on a lot of levels, Mark, trying to understand its meaning. There are reports that a U.S. soldier kidnapped back in April has been murdered by insurgents. Al Jazeera says that soldier was Specialist Keith Maupin, but the U.S. military isn't confirming that yet. Baghdad, at least for part of Monday, was quieter than usual, but it never stays that way for long. There's late word, those of you who heard the morning newscast, the roadside bomb is detonated near a U.S. military convoy in southeast Baghdad. There are unconfirmed reports of American troop casualties in the wake of that explosion. Another one of these roadside situations that seem to happen virtually daily.
I guess we'll stay on top of that as the morning progresses. Well, that's the interesting thing about what's happening there is I read this piece in The Guardian, and the first paragraph I thought was pretty insightful. It says, something happened in Baghdad yesterday, but what exactly? What we know is that somewhere in Saddam Hussein's sprawling former cantonment on the banks of the Tigris, behind silver miles of new razor wire, behind high concrete barriers stronger than most medieval fortifications, behind sandbags, five security checks, U.S. armored vehicles, U.S. armored soldiers, special forces of various countries, and private security guards, behind secrecy and a fear of killing so intense that none save a handful of people knew it had happened until after it was over, an American bureaucrat handed a piece of paper to an Iraqi judge, jumped on a helicopter, and left the country.
Got out of Dodge. That would be Paul Bremer.
Isn't that beautifully descriptive, though?
It is.
It's unbelievable by a guy named James Meek, who was in Baghdad at the time. Well, that's the whole deal. You know, it was like secret. It was almost clandestine. It was like, here you go. Got to leave. Things getting hairy. And obviously today it got hairy again.
Yeah, it did. But, you know, Mark, it is safe to say that a great deal of President Bush's credibility, such as it is, rests on whether this power transfer does in fact hold. He did achieve a partial victory when NATO agreed to train Iraq's armed forces, but that commitment fell short of taking on a larger role. Even some of his close advisors are saying they don't know if the debacle that became the U.S. occupation can be erased in a simple ceremony that just took place 2 days early. There are still questions about just how sovereign the new interim government will be. To summon the United States, the surprise transfer had deeper implications. Former NATO Supreme Allied Commander and friend of the room, Wesley Clark, put it this way.
This was like a stealth handover, obviously because the security situation was so bad that they couldn't do it publicly.
Yeah, so clearly, you know, the Iraqis were ready for a handover. That's all that means, is that things are so, come on. I mean, you know what I mean? Things are so out of control over there, and the security situation is so intense and so dangerous that how can this look anything like other than, you know, we got to get out of here?
Well, you know, in a couple of minutes, we're going to be going to Baghdad, where we are going to be speaking to a very special guest. Baghdad Bureau Chief for Time Magazine, Michael Ware, will talk to us a bit about how the transition is actually going. Because, you know, there's a big difference sometimes between some of the things that you hear, some of the things that, because when we get news back here in the States, it's always filtered through, you know, how does Washington react? How does the president, you know, what's he saying?
Yeah,
and here's the guy that's on the ground over there.
Yeah, so we can cut out the middle, you know, the sort of the crap tube, you know, that happens. It goes through some sort of weird crap wire, and then it comes out of American television. But what you're saying about NATO, though, clearly that's a very conditional help they're offering. They said that they were willing to train Iraqi defense troops and security troops, but not in Iraq.
In Iraq. Number two, and this is a big problem overall, you can train people all day. But if it comes down to having to face off against other Iraqis, will they remember their training or will they do what they've been doing up until now, many of them, which is to say, no, I'm not going to do this.
And also there's the threat of them, you know, having old loyalties. Well, one of the things we were talking about before we started the show today, hopefully you'll get into it because I think it's very interesting, is that, you know, the tribal loyalties and also the Baathist loyalties run a lot deeper than anyone can assume. And even though you establish, you know, an Iraqi security force that are trained, you know, by the U.S. military, by NATO military, you know, when the crap really hits the fan, who knows whether or not they're going to honor the new loyalties or or go back to
go
their
back
old loyalties, either tribal loyalties or religious loyalties or Baptist loyalties. Like that theory you have about the, about that show you saw last night, I think is pretty interesting. Why
yeah,
don't you
that's
go
a
into
scary.
That
that's a scary thing. I don't know if we have time to do it now, but yeah, I saw a show about the Nazi resistance at the end of World War II.
Yeah,
and I just saw some really striking parallels to what we're seeing here, where the Nazis, when they realized the war was lost, they formed a small organization called the Werewolves.
Yeah.
And they went into behind enemy lines into areas that were then occupied by the Allies and started killing wholesale collaborators with the Allies, German collaborators with the Allies, Belgian collaborators with the Allies.
Right.
And struck terror into the hearts of many of these towns, these small towns, villages, et cetera, some of whom had welcomed the Allied occupation, but, you know, again, people weren't feeling safe. They would plant roadside bombs.
Right.
They'd plant bombs mines in the middle of the road, so when convoys went through, their trucks would blow up.
They were guerrillas, terrorists.
They were guerrillas and terrorists, and the way they were stopped, I'm not sure this country is prepared to do in the 21st century, because it involved killing a lot of people.
Or whether we should do it. Maybe that's why they're turning the rock over now. It's like, go ahead, do what you got to
do.
We understand. We'll be back with Michael Ware from Baghdad after this. So come back, Air America Radio.
Do you know that 7 companies decide the films you get to see? As a result, fewer and fewer truly groundbreaking films are being released. So you, as a moviegoer, have less access to anything other than the standard Hollywood fare. Hi, I'm Larry Maestrich, founder of Film Movement, and producer of films such as Sling Blade and You Can Count on Me. Film Movement is a true grassroots movement of film fans who want greater access to alternative voices in film. Each month, subscribers to Film Movement receive an award-winning independent film to own on DVD, directly from top film festivals such as Cannes and Sundance. Subscribe to Film Movement through Air America at airamericaradio.com in June and receive a free copy of The Party's Over, a critically acclaimed documentary narrated by Philip Seymour Hoffman about the state of democracy in America. Everyone deserves access to the best new releases. These films deserve to be seen. Help us support independent thinking by joining Film Movement or giving Film Movement as a gift for Father's Day or graduation. Subscribe today at airamericaradio.com.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
When I started this company, our mission was to be the most useful and most ethical provider in the financial services business.
Charles Schwab, founder and chairman of the Charles Schwab Corporation.
When you're dealing with people's money, when you're dealing with their financial dreams, you've got to hold it with the greatest of care.
With industry-leading equity research, trusted investment professionals, and personalized advice, Charles Schwab offers investors a better choice when it comes to low-cost investing.
It's about service. It's about best value. It's about ethics. It's all those things. That's what we're about every day.
Join the more than 3 million investors at Charles Schwab and enjoy lower trading costs plus advice and unparalleled service. Call 1-800-7-SCHWAB or stop by your local Schwab branch today.
Some benefits, including advice and certain equity research, available for a fee only through one or more Schwab Personal Choice or other fee-based services. New trading commissions effective 6/21/04. Charles Schwab & Co., Inc., member SIPC and NYSE.
Good morning. Morning's edition. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley, 20 past the hour. We're trying to get Michael Ware on the phone in Baghdad. Since the handover, sometimes it's not easy to get in there. It's never easy to get in to Baghdad on the phone, especially if it's a cell phone. I'm not sure what's going on, but there's plenty to talk about. That analogy you're making with the werewolves and that, see, I never assumed that. I always thought, like, you know, afterwards with all these different insurgencies, whether they're tribal or religious or ex-Baptists, you know, I thought, especially with the Baptists, that they were holding on to a dream that, you know what I mean? And I actually thought it couldn't be Baptists remaining. Why would they even bother? Mm-hmm. But the truth of the matter is, if an idea is strong enough, or an ideology is strong enough, and the commitment is there, that it's supposed to, you know, the agenda of a meme or an idea or an ideology is that it will transcend and live past whoever is in charge. And that's what, you know, once they put that into the people, into the people who are committed, the adepts or the soldiers, that, you know, whatever happens, you know, keep this alive. I always forget about that's what loyalism, or that's what loyalists do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they would engage in the terrorist film.
Well, Mark, the point that you've been making, I guess, for the better part of a month, and that is that Iraq, because of the war prosecuted by this president, has turned into this magnet for terrorism, is precisely what Michael Ware, who we hope to talk to shortly, is saying in this Time magazine piece.
Yeah.
That, in fact, Iraq has become a haven and a magnet for terrorists from all over the world, number one. Number two, they have managed to get, for example, Baathists, who are generally secular thinkers, in other words, not particularly religious people,
right,
to find common cause with some of the most fundamental Islamists that are also floating out here. And they've all come together around this whole notion of jihad against the West, jihad against the United States, and against the occupation. And that's where I saw the similarity with these German werewolves that were there in the wake of World War II. They were formed in late 1944, when apparently the German government started to realize, hey, we're going to lose this thing. Now, they didn't surrender until April of 45, so they had all of that time from late 44 into mid-45 to organize these people. And they went out in small groups, four, five, six people, men and women. And they went out, created all of these acts of sabotage, and really went about the business of trying to prepare the way for a reemergence of the Third Reich, even after Hitler committed suicide.
Yeah, it's an intense strategy in the sense that, like, you know, because the ideology is there and people are terrified, that there might be a chance that, you know, people will either, you know, shut up or get on board again.
Mm-hmm.
And even if a lot of people assume that many of the Nazis, you know, sort of like went on and they went to South America and they had their own agendas in the world, but some of them sort of still, like, you know, resurfaced here and there,
yeah,
you know, under different offices, under different, not necessarily calling themselves Nazis, but still pursuing the agenda of the Nazis in different places, or helping out other governments in different places. And that always sort of makes me concerned about the ex-Baathists, you know, who are going to be in this new government even.
Yeah. And see, the scary part to me is that when you start looking at what these different governments, remember that at the end of the war, Germany was partitioned off into four parts. The Russians had a part, the Americans had a part, the French had a part, and the British had a part. And each one of these different groups was subject to the same sabotage. Werewolves were out after all of them. Well, in many cases, the reactions on the part of even the United States government, they had a thing called summary punishment, where if they found out you were one of these werewolves, they found out you committed an act of sabotage that cost an American troop his or her life, they took you out and shot you. Period.
Right. Yeah.
The Soviets were even more brutal. There was one instance that was documented in this thing where a Soviet soldier was killed. They went into this village, took out 200 Germans, and shot all of them.
Yeah.
So, you know, they had some very, very draconian measures to stamp out this resistance, which they were eventually successful in doing. Geneva Conventions never even entered into the equation. They did what they felt they had to do. Now, you transpose that to the 21st century and ask yourself whether or not the people of this country are prepared to see their... So we got upset about Abu Ghraib. Imagine what would happen if there were images of people lining up Iraqis
cutting
and
their heads off.
Yeah, cutting their heads off or shooting them or something like that. They know, the insurgents know, that that's intolerable in this country. We cannot do it. And that, to me, undermines the Bush rationale for doing this in the first place, because at a point, you have to ask yourself, are we prepared to deal with inhumanity by being inhuman ourselves? The answer to that, as far as I'm concerned, is no.
Well, this raises an interesting point, is that with this turnover and with, you know, with the troops being limited, and, you know, they can only take orders from the American administration.
Americans, absolutely.
So if there's Iraqi security forces in the Iraqi military, the newly trained Iraqi security force, the newly trained Iraqi military under orders from the new interim government, if they are said, well, you go out there and kill these people and be as shameless and Islamic about it as you want to be. You know, are we going to say, you know, even with Negroponte in there as ambassador, are we going to say, hey, you know, they're running their country the way that they want to run it. It had nothing to do with our troops. And if this is the way they're going to deal with the problem, this is their culture. Hey, you know, how are we to stop it? And if it's effective, so be it. Is that going to happen?
I don't know. Remember that the United States, when Alawi and them, the prime minister, started talking about martial law, America said, oh, no, you don't. Not without our permission. Now, martial law allows you to do certain things you can't do under normal circumstances. So apparently, the American government is holding out the idea that they're not going to let this interim government get but so far. They're not going to let this interim government go out and start killing people, I don't think. Not en masse. Not on the kind of level that you're seeing the insurgents do to both Americans, foreigners, and Iraqis. And we really, Mark, have no clue the number of Iraqis who are getting killed. I think you brought this up yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Well, after seeing Michael Moore's movie, is that one of the things that we don't think about in relation to this war is death in general. I mean, you got a president that won't allow military coffins to come back or be photographed, to come back and be photographed out of respect for them. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's something that people should have to do to see the price of war and the tolls that people are paying. And out of respect for the families of the military people, they should be honored. Yeah, you got a president that doesn't go to military funerals, and he's certainly have an administration and a press corps that is not, you know, really letting out numbers of civilian casualties.
Yeah, that's very true. And, you know, you spoke about the president. A new poll, this poll was taken before our little surprise handover.
Hold on a minute. You want a drum roll?
Yeah. More bad news for... Guess who? The incumbent president. The latest New York Times CBS News poll shows his approval rating fell to the lowest level. Have we been saying this for the last 6 months or something?
This is the lowest. Sir.
The lowest level of his presidency is down to 42%. The poll also found Americans don't think the administration has been truthful about the war in Iraq. And that is at the same time that opposition to the war is also starting to solidify.
42%. And James Galbraith, our buddy in Texas, the economist, who said, you know, on our show that approval ratings aren't based on anything that happens, you know, any events that happen in the world. They will decrease, you know, slowly in increments, mm-hmm. you know, since post 9/11, since his highest numbers, they've gone incrementally down steadily.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what happens in the world, because people are starting to distrust, dislike, and want to change in this country.
Well, you know, I guess there's some good news in that he's 8 points higher than his dad was at the same period in 92. Up next, the presidential palm pilot, the U.S. Supreme Court says Bush doesn't have the divine right of kings and the all-important liberal agenda. This is Air America Radio.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud. Some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
Well, I should say not.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning, I'm Wayne Gilman. Iraq remains the scene of more violence since the transfer of power yesterday. Associated Press News Service reports that a roadside bomb went off near a U.S. military convoy southeast of Baghdad. There are American casualties. 3 U.S. soldiers were killed, but the death toll is expected to rise. President Bush is hoping for an election year bounce for the speeding up the transfer in Iraq. White House is reportedly banking on the hope that the new interim government will stabilize the situation there and change American public perception. just before the election. President's still in Turkey for another round of discussions with other NATO leaders. Istanbul is the scene of more protests. Some of the protests is violence. And the Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry says Iraq must be stabilized and questions why the Bush White House has not spent more to do so. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
My company designs and builds offices for large corporations. After 10 years in business, I can handle just about any construction problem. But paying my bills on time, that's not always so easy.
Introducing the American Express Platinum Business Credit Card. It lets small business owners pay over time. There's no annual fee, plus you enjoy all the savings, services, and tools of Open, the small business network. Apply now. Call 1-800-NOW-OPEN.
Paying over time? It helps me build my business.
Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply.
Mom, can you take me to Supercuts?
Excuse me? Since when do you care what you look like?
Seriously, Mom, I need a haircut.
Is it a girl? Oh, my Lord, you're already into girls. My little boy's growing up. Oh, soon you'll be in college.
Mom, I'm 7.
And then you'll marry this girl, who we haven't even met yet, and be a big corporate executive. Oh, you look so good in a suit.
Are you going to take me to Supercuts, or should I call a cab?
And you'll be bringing the grandkids on the
Let's face it, your kids are growing up whether you like it or not. That's why Supercuts promises to give them a look you'll both love. Usually quicker than it takes to get them to brush their teeth.
Dad, can you take me to Supercuts?
Supercuts? Jeez, where's the time gone? I mean, you were just a little baby, and now you're in school, growing hair.
Supercuts. We know how it is.
With over 1,700 locations, it's never been more convenient to let Supercuts take care of you and your hair. Call 1-800-SUPERCUTS or log on to supercuts.com for a location nearest you. And while you're there, check out the latest episode of The Mop Squad.
The Majority Report.
CNN, she's asked point blank, what's your personal view on stem cell research? And Laura Bush says, everyone supports stem cell research, and so did the president. After just saying 3 interviews ago that she did not endorse Nancy Reagan's position on additional funding.
Well, also on CNN, she knows that's the demo of CNN. Because on Fox, you have people that are mentally challenged, hill folk, and militias, and Klan members.
Right.
The Majority Report on Air America Radio.
Past the hour. It's Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. Mark Riley is here.
Hey.
You're listening to Air America Radio. It's time now for the Presidential Palm Pilot, downloaded fresh by my dude in the Oval Office. Here's the schedule for today. The president is still in Turkey. 7 o'clock a.m. Wake up. Still in Istanbul. God, I hate South America. 8:45 a.m. Leave hotel Istanbul Convention Center. Stop at bazaar. Buy magic lamp for $6 billion. Note: make sure this technology doesn't fall into the wrong hands. 10:20 a.m. Photo op with leaders of the Adriatic Charter countries. Tell them I'm committed to the fight against Adriatics and other sexually transmitted diseases. Important stuff. 10:35 a.m. Attend Euro-Atlantic Partnership Council family photo. Tell them the bombing starts in 5 minutes. It was funny when Reagan said it. 10:45 a.m. Attend working session of Euro-Atlantic Partnership Council family. Be the family member that naps. 10 p.m. 2:10 p.m. Address event. Galatasaray University, Istanbul. Tell students if they study, they've got a 1 in 4 chance of getting a good paying job before the next earthquake hits. 3:40 p.m. Leave Istanbul, but not before I see Constantinople. 6:55 p.m. Arrive at Andrews Air Force Base. Avoid flag-draped coffins. 9 p.m. Begin participation in working session of the NATO-Ukraine Commission. Hand over sovereignty of actual work to others. 10 p.m. Lights out. Rub magic lamp. Rub it again. Damn. So, Supreme Court of the United States of America reenacts the Constitution.
Well, he said that what the court actually said was President George Bush is not King or Emperor George Bush.
That's what they think. Wait till he amends the Constitution and says that he is.
Well, you know, he essentially, I guess, tried to amend the Constitution in the first place, saying that he could detain anyone he wanted for as long as he wanted, without access, giving those people access to lawyers, without giving those people U.S.-born citizens in a couple of cases the rights of
U.S.
Citizens.
Yasser Hamdi, U.S. citizen born in Louisiana, 1980, moved to Saudi Arabia as a child. He was captured in Afghanistan in 2001, and the Bush administration says he was fighting for the Taliban. His father says he was doing relief work. He's been held at the naval brigs in Virginia and South Carolina since April 2002.
Yes.
So his father filed this case. He has had no contact with his son since 2001. And the ruling was an 8-1 ruling that Hamdi has the right to use American courts to argue he is being held illegally. So he now has his constitutional rights to due process.
Yes. And in the Hamdi case, it's interesting because it seems like there were separate and distinct rulings. Number one, there was an 8-1 ruling that Yasser Hamdi has the right to use American courts to argue that he is being held illegally. And this is fascinating because Justice Sandra Day O'Connor wrote the opinion that the indefinite detention of a prisoner could last for the rest of his life, which is too long without the basics of due process.
Hold on a minute. Wait, the rest of your life is too long?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's nice that you qualified that. The rest of your life is really too long a time to wait without having the possibility to do something.
Surprise, surprise, Justice Antonin Scalia, the duck hunter, says, quote, if civil rights are to be curtailed during wartime, it must be done openly and democratically as the Constitution requires, rather than by silent erosion through an opinion of this court. The only dissenter.
Scalia saving a little face.
Yeah, really. Okay. And Clarence Thomas, the only dissenter.
Supreme Court Uncle Clarence Thomas?
Clarence Uncle Thomas. Well, you know, he usually votes with Scalia. I'm surprised he didn't make this unanimous this time. But he defended the president's authority to detain enemy combatants. Now, part two of the ruling by a vote of six to three, the court placed Yasser Hamdi's case back in the hands of a federal judge who will rule whether or not he should be released by a vote of 5-4. This is the only ruling that agrees with the White House. They said that the president did have the right to hold Yasser Hamdi as an enemy combatant. In the Jose Padilla case, they voted 5-4 not to hear the merits. The majority included Rehnquist, O'Connor, Scalia, Thomas, and Kennedy. The minority, Stevens, Coulter, Ginsburg, and Breyer.
And that was because they said that he should have gone after the warden, not Defense Secretary
and not
Rumsfeld.
Donald Rumsfeld.
They're turning that back over to the federal court system.
Well, of course. And Padilla, like Hamdi, was a U.S. citizen as well.
So we got some breaking news here about Saddam Hussein that we're gonna share with you after the break here, and we'll also finish up on the Supreme Court ruling. So come back to Air America Radio.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies.
Mm-hmm.
Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep, the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air, or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free Better Sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
Hello from Athens, Greece, folks. Now, if you're a big sports fan like me, this is the place to be. They've got them all. Take fencing. My sword of choice is always the foil over the saber in FA. You've got to see it. That's why Connell Lodge and Roadway Inn Hotels have created the Wake Up a Winner sweepstakes. You can win a trip to the big events in Athens. To enter, visit choicehotels.com, or every time you stay at a Connell Lodge and Roadway Inn Hotels this summer, you'll get a game piece with a chance to win hundreds of prizes and discounts off your next stay. Wake Up a Winner. To book, call 800-4-CHOICE or go to choicehotels.com. Well, I'm off to rhythmic gymnastics, where it always comes down to who nails the tightest ribbon snake. Choice Hotel. We'll see you there.
No purchase necessary. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 and older. Void where prohibited. Promotion runs June 7th through August 29th, 2004. For official rules and how to enter without purchase, visit choicehotels.com.
Good morning. You're listening to Air America Radio. This is Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. I'm here with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
We have breaking news about Saddam Hussein, and we also have Michael Ware in Baghdad on the phone. So why don't we break that news, Riley, and go to Michael on the phone.
Iraq's interim prime minister, Ayad Alawi, says Saddam Hussein and several other top regime officials will be transferred to Iraqi legal custody tomorrow.
Wow.
Bush is cutting and running like crazy.
So now they're cleaning him up, giving him a shave.
Yeah,
you know, putting on his suit.
he'll have a trial date.
They're going to pull him out of the hole. He's going to go, finally, I'm back in charge. That was a close one. Where are my people? I don't understand. Ow. Right now, joining us from Baghdad is Michael Ware, Times Baghdad Bureau Chief. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
What's the mood in the streets in Baghdad since the Americans transferred the power over yesterday?
I'm sorry, you have to repeat the question.
What's the mood there now? What's going on in the streets of Baghdad since the handover?
All right, well, life is kind of continuing normally, but it's not really. I mean, the traffic in this city now is intense. It takes you hours to get anywhere because there's been such a huge influx of motor vehicles since the war.
Right.
But right now, you could drive anywhere you want pretty quickly. The city is holding its breath. The whole country is holding its breath. They just don't know what's going to happen. Generally, they welcome the transition to Ayad Alawi. He might not be an Iraqi that the most people know or even like, but hey, at least he's an Iraqi. That's a step forward. What they're waiting to see now is whether he can live up to the promise, to the expectation. Because at the same time, he has major security threats on his hands, and he's got sweet, sweet little to throw at those security threats. So people just don't know how it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Michael Ware, do people expect the Iraqi security forces, which we've been given to understand until now, don't always work to keep order? In some cases, they seem to side with insurgents. Are the Iraqi people now, do they now believe that the security forces, the military and the police can keep order on the streets?
Not at all. Not at all. There is no military. In a stroke of wisdom, Administrator Paul Bremer disbanded the Iraqi army, leaving hundreds of thousands of very disgruntled, well-trained people out there with nothing to do. These people have not yet come back. It's been a very slow trickle. He's looking at immediately reinstating four former divisions and throwing them into action. Trouble is, the bulk of Alawi's problem is coming from Western Iraq. It's coming from the Sunni heartland. It's coming from a Ba'ath heartland. It's coming from the place where all the foreign fighters, the terrorists, have come and joined forces with the Ba'ath Party members. That's where his problem is. And most of the military, they're either not prepared to go into these areas, aren't prepared to go into battle against fellow Iraqis, or quite frankly, they're running around as Mujahideen right now and would have to stop that and come and put uniforms on to re-enter the army. So, yeah, people know that you can't rely on their own security forces. The Iraqi police I've been with them in Sada City during fighting with the Americans. I'm there with Muqtada Sada's Jay Shamati clowns from the Jay Shamati militia, and side by side, manning the same barricade firing RPGs at Americans, is a guy in a police uniform.
Oh my God. Michael Ware, Baghdad Bureau Chief for Time Magazine. Michael, you write about, I believe it's in the current issue of Time, about all of these jihadists who have come to Iraq. It's something that Mark Maron has talked about on a number of occasions in the past, that Iraq has become this magnet for people. I mean, is Iraq now going to be in a permanent, I guess, forgive me if I'm misstating this, but is there a state of permanent jihad? Is that what people are trying to get? Is that what the insurgents have as a goal?
You hit the nail right on the head. I mean, the whole world here has changed right under the military's nose. And either they weren't able to track this change coming, or they were simply powerless to do anything about it. I used to spend time with resistance fighters last year. These are former professional military officers. They'd say to me, I was a major in the Republican Guard. With the fall of the regime, my commission, I just entered a new phase of the war. I'm defending my home, for God's sake. Now, 2 years ago during the regime, a lot of these guys were drinking and whoring and...
We're losing him.
But, Michael was telling us some very, very scary
stuff. That's heavy, man. That it sounds like it's completely, you know, there's no Iraqi military. The police are likely to change sides in the middle of any sort of event where Iraqis are being, shot at by Americans. And now you have this unified terrorist Baathist front in the Sunni homeland. We're trying to get him back on the phone.
I think we have him back on. Michael, can you tell us briefly, what do you think the insurgents, the militants, what do they want?
All right. In the past, they wanted a free Iraq with an Iraqi government. Now, the disciples of Osama bin Laden, the jihadis who were inspired by him after September 11th, have come into this country. Their money is now fueling the resistance. So they're the ones who can dictate the tune a fair bit. And they've internationalized the resistance. It's no longer a resistance against occupation. This is Osama bin Laden's holy war, ready to fight the infidel wherever it appears. And we've given them the platform to fight by coming here, by being here. Yes, we were a magnet for them. The military knew we would be. Some flippantly said, bring it on, bring it on. What we didn't realize is that we'd be creating whole armies of them by being here. They have safe havens, they have camps. They've got places from where to attack Americans. And what they want has nothing to do with giving token sovereignty to Ayat Alawi. What they want now, men who a year ago wanted to free their homes, they want an Islamic state. They want Sharia law. They want one Islamic caliphate ruling the whole Muslim world from Saudi Arabia to Afghanistan to Chechnya. They now see Iraq as a part of Osama's broader fight. Now, before, they didn't care about anything over their borders. Now they're international jihad.
So what happened?
Want to turn your car into a stealth fighter? Invisible to all types of speed detection equipment, including radar and laser? Well, now you can with Phaser. With a range of up to 3 miles, the Phaser guarantees that you will avoid all types of speed traps. In fact, the manufacturer will even pay your fine if you get a ticket. More than a mere radar detector. The Phaser works by bouncing a mixture of radar signals and invisible infrared pulses to confuse the computer inside the radar or laser gun. The Phaser is the ultimate way to avoid costly speeding tickets. In fact, it is been made illegal in some states, so call now for details. Remember, the Phaser is guaranteed or your speeding ticket is paid, so if you never want to worry about hearing this again, go stealth and get the Phaser today.
To order risk-free, call now 866-794-6495. That's 866-794-6495. Call 866-794-6495.
Not available in California, Minnesota, Nebraska, Virginia, Oklahoma, or Washington, D.C. Certain restrictions apply to guarantee. Call for details.
If you're not outraged, you're not paying attention.
Have you ever walked by someone and laughed at their t-shirt? Or saw a bumper sticker that were your exact thoughts?
Well-behaved women seldom make history.
Did you wish you could get one like it? Do you want to find a way to express your political views for all to see? Well, you can. For 25 years, Northern Sun Merchandising has been supplying humorous and politically conscious products, including bumper stickers, posters, buttons, and of course, t-shirts.
One nation, under surveillance.
So express yourself with Northern Sun Merchandising at www.northernsun.com or call 800-258-8579 for a catalog.
God bless the whole world. No exceptions.
Often humorous, never dull at Northern Sun. That's 800-258-8579 for a catalog or visit northernsun.com.
And remember, regime change begins at home.
Gary Boland, COVID technician on reality television.
Oh, you mean the news?
On global warming.
I love summer.
And on business broadband.
I'm glad you asked. You know, the key to choosing broadband is the same as any business decision. It's value. At COVID, you get broadband built for business for less than the local phone company's repackaged residential plans. In fact, your business could save hundreds of dollars a year with COVID. Plus, with the security of SDSL dedicated lines and 99.9% uptime guaranteed, you can relax, knowing your business isn't going to hit a brick wall. Now, I could go on.
Gary Boland on astrology.
Well, I've always wanted to go to space.
Business broadband. COVID knows it like nobody else. To get broadband billed for business, call 1-800-555-0454. Plus, get a free router after mail-in rebate through June 30th, 2004, when your business signs up at 1-800-555-0454 or gocovid.com. See website for guaranteed details and availability. Saving based on published rates, March 10th, 2004. Yeah!
Past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley in Morning Edition. We have Michael Ware, Times Baghdad Bureau Chief, on the phone. We're in the middle of a mind-blowing conversation now. So, Michael, what you're saying is Bush, our president, by invading Iraq, facilitated basically a jihad that could last forever, and he provided, by making Iraq unstable, a temporary Islamic terrorist state.
Well, look, with all due respect to the president and the administration, that is precisely what they've done. What we say we came here to prevent and to stymie, we have spawned, we have fostered it. These guys were hunting around for a platform to make jihad, to breed the new generation. September 11 was by the generation who fought the Soviet jihad. Well, they needed somewhere to blood the new generation, and we've given it to them. Look at Abu Musab Zarqawi, the leading terrorist here now, who's just been adopted back into the Al-Qaeda fold. Before this war, he was a marginal character, shopping himself around to different terrorist groups. Now he's a pin-up boy. Why? Because he had somewhere to come and play, and that was Iraq. They've now got camps, they've now got safe havens, and they're ready to go again. I've seen this all in Afghanistan. I was there for over a year. Sometimes now out in the bush here, I have to pinch myself to remind me that I'm not with the Taliban.
Wow. So now, are they recruiting? Are these videos of these guys cutting people's heads off? Are they operating as recruitment videos? How many people are new converts to this Islamic jihad?
It's very hard to say. There's a lot of veterans here and a lot of people with military experience, but there's also young men being recruited in mosques in different countries who are pumped full of jihad. They're then brought to training facilities or safe houses just across Iraq's borders, and then they're distributed to safe houses or facilities here in Iraq where they receive further training. The military has dropped laser-guided bombs on certain safe houses in Fallujah 3 times in the last week. Well, the first one that they dropped, I was contacted by Zarqawi's people, and they admitted, yes, this was one of our safe houses. And yes, what they were doing was training people, new recruits. It was like boot camp. And they said 37 fighters were there.
That's unbelievable.
18 were killed.
Wow.
8 of whom were foreigners.
Wow. Thank you so much for joining us. Michael Ware, Times Baghdad Bureau Chief, with mind-blowing revelations. Appreciate you being here.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Oh,
wow.
My God. We're going to, in next hour, we got to go over some more of that stuff. I can't believe that. It's everything we feared. It's the worst fear possible that this president has created a consolidated Islamic front with his careless, arrogant unilateralism. Oh, here we go. Let's have fun now. It's time for some fun.
Yeah, let's do that.
I can't. I can shift gears. I can shift gears. Hey, ha ha ha. Here's the liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. Woohoo. Hey, hey, ha ha. Islamic jihad. Oh, wait, ha ha. One, preschool agenda. Juice Fahrenheit 9/11 nap. Juice Fahrenheit 9/11 nap. Got it. Two, ask new government of Iraq when their public television stations will show Joseph Campbell and the power of myth. Three, draft petition seeking daycare for working terrorist mothers. But after that conversation, it's like, that isn't even. Four, call NASA. Make sure Saturn probe doesn't disturb indigenous Saturnians. And five, today's phrase, drop it into conversation anytime. Those beheaders must have serious self-esteem issues. Boy, that was kind of a rough liberal agenda considering the conversation we just had. But, hey, comedy, news, reality, it can all go together happily on Morning Sedition.
Let's hope so. I mean, we're going to talk about this some more in our time left with you this morning. In the next hour of Morning Sedition, Mark Maron's Dream Diary, Iraq, Birth of a Nation, and the Morning Devotional, all coming up here on Air America Radio.
This year marks the 100th anniversary of French's Mustard, and we wanted to come up with a great way to celebrate this exciting milestone. So we thought, what if we sell commemorative 100-pound bottles of French's?
Ah, my foot!
But we decided to give away $100,000 instead. Just buy any French's Mustard, and you can win $100,000.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. $100,000 drawing will be held on 9/20/04. U.S. resident, 18 or older. See specially marked packages of French's Mustard or FrenchesFoods.com for details.
French's. It tastes that great.
I feel a cold coming on, and I'm in a wedding this weekend.
This cold better be gone soon. I'm going on vacation. Is there any way to make a cold go away faster?
Yeah, is there?
There is. Cold Ease Lozenges. Clinically proven to reduce the length of a cold by almost half. No other product has Cold Ease's patented homeopathic formula.
Cold's gone. I can kiss the bride.
Safe, effective Cold Ease Lozenges. The shorter the cold, the better. And try a new Cold Ease nasal spray.
You're listening to 1190 WLIV New York, the flagship station of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning, I'm Wayne Gilman. First, a surprise transfer of power to Iraq just 2 days before the long-held established deadline. Now there's word in the past hour that deposed Iraqi President Saddam Hussein will be placed into the hands of the new interim government tomorrow. This according to the new Iraqi Prime Minister Iyad Alawi, Hussein and several high-ranking members of his once-powerful regime will be handed over by the U.S. government. Initially, the Bush administration was reluctant to give up Saddam, but capitulated to criticism inside and out of Iraq. His transfer to the new government was expected to be a long process, but reports out of Baghdad this hour say it will go down tomorrow. Despite the transfer, no surprise here on the rise of violence in Iraq. There was yet another roadside attack near a U.S. military convoy southeast of Baghdad. Insurgents set off a bomb, killing three American soldiers, according to early reports. But military officials say the American death toll is expected to be higher once the dust settles. As for the spate of kidnappings, a news report from the Al Jazeera network says three Turkish hostages will be set free. This is based on a statement read by one of the militants holding the hostages. Militants who are loyal to terrorist Abu Musab al-Zarqawi say the hostages are being set free for the sake of you, our brothers and Muslims of the people of Turkey. Turkish foreign minister confirmed the report. Meanwhile, two other Turkish hostages held by another group could also be set free very soon. The Turkish organization, which had been doing business with the U.S. military, has agreed to sever ties to spare the lives of the hostages. President Bush, according to reports, is hopeful for an election year bounce from yesterday's early transition to sovereignty in Iraq. Not that he's expecting changes overnight, but any signs of stability in the country would ease the anxieties of the average American who are concerned about the rise of mass bombings, kidnappings, and beheadings. Bush is hopeful that the untested group of Iraqi government officials will deliver security, stability, and economic progress. It would be just the opposite of the current atmosphere in Iraq because of the U.S. occupation. Speaking of polls, the latest New York Times CBS News poll shows Bush's poll numbers remain in the toilet. The poll says it's the lowest of his presidency. His decline is directly linked to his handling of the crisis in Iraq, as more Americans are stiffening their opposition to Bush's handling of the war and the consequential occupation, which ended yesterday. No president in recent history with poll numbers under 50%, fewer than 6 months before the election, ever recovered to win a second term. Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry wasted no time yesterday in reacting to the swift turn of events in Iraq. Kerry released a statement congratulating the work of the American soldiers, citing that 90% of the coalition on the ground is American. With the praise, however, came criticism of the current administration's handling of the support for the soldiers and efforts to sufficiently train the Iraqi security forces. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
In financial markets today.
The Dow is up, the Nasdaq is down.
This is the sound of what's running our world, the corporations.
Within less than 10 years, a handful of global companies will own directly or through license the actual genes that make up the evolution of our species.
We just paid $3 billion for these television stations. The news is what we say it is.
Now there's The Corporation, an acclaimed award-winning documentary set to explode in theaters across the country. The San Francisco Bay Guardian calls it brilliant, hilarious, and chilling. The Economist says people on both sides of the globalization debate should pay attention. See The Corporation. You can't afford to miss it.
I'm convinced that a few people are going to leave this movie theater and go and do something, anything, to get this world back in our hands.
The Corporation, a Zeitgeist Films release, opens June 30th at New York's Film Forum. Visit thecorporation.com.
To get ready for his new show, The Graham Norton Effect, this Thursday night at 10, 9 Central on Comedy Central. Graham is asking what people like you want from a show.
Yes. What do you want exactly?
I want celebrities talking about something besides our latest movie.
Great. I want a show that isn't afraid to experiment.
Right.
A show that I can watch with my mom?
Possibly.
The Graham Norton Effect. Peep show. Sideshow.
Talk show. Is she an open-minded sort of mom?
This Thursday night at 10, 9 Central. Only on Comedy Central.
When I started this company, our mission was to be the most useful and most ethical provider in the financial services business.
Charles Schwab, founder and chairman of the Charles Schwab Corporation.
When you're dealing with people's money, when you're dealing with their financial dreams, you've got to hold it with the greatest of care.
With industry-leading equity research, trusted investment professionals, and personalized advice, Charles Schwab offers investors a better choice when it comes to low-cost investing.
It's about service, it's about best value, it's about ethics. It's all those things. That's what we're about every day.
Join the more than 3 million investors at Charles Schwab and enjoy lower trading costs plus advice and unparalleled service. Call 1-800-7-SCHWAB or stop by your local Schwab branch today.
Some benefits, including advice and certain equity research, available for a fee only through one or more Schwab Personal Choice or other fee-based services. New trading commissions effective 6/21/04. Charles Schwab & Co., Inc., member SIPC and NYSE.
So what else is news?
You may wonder why it is that the head of public broadcasting turned to the wife of the vice president and pitched the notion that she should host a show, Lynn Cheney's History Book. Well, the reason is not that the market is not offering these things. Unfortunately, the running of public broadcasting in this country has turned into the currying of favor with the right wing.
Marty Kaplan, Air America Radio.
Mark Maron, you're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Tuesday morning. Today, we'll find out what a former Reagan defense official has to say about Iraq. Plus, we'll find out what my subconscious has to say in today's Dream Diary. That's all coming up. I'm with Mark Riley. How are you, Mark?
Good morning.
Last hour, we had a mind-blowing interview with Michael Ware. I would say that it is the best interview that we've ever done on this show, for my money.
Well, I mean, Michael Ware is the Baghdad bureau chief from Time magazine.
Yeah, and like he's in Baghdad. It's a day after the handover, and what he had to say about what Bush's policies have created in that country. You know, this handover is bogus in relation to what's happened there as a result
of our invasion on the grounds of nothing. But let's do the news first, and then I'll figure out how to
get back to it. Well, you know, it is about the handover. It's the handover of power, and now, as we get late-breaking word, it's also about the handover of Saddam Hussein, which now the Prime Minister, Iyad Alawi, says will take place tomorrow. In other words, the U.S. will, in fact, hand over custody of Saddam Hussein to the Iraqi interim government for whatever it is they're going to end up doing with him. But Bush, you know, is trying to make a little hay out of this transfer, you know.
Oh,
this is not just about, you know, Iraqi democracy. It's about his home poll number.
It's a publicity stunt almost. You know what I mean? It's like, after what that guy just told us, Mark, my brain is blowing up. What did Bush have to?
Well, you know, Bush is saying, well, the campaign of violence will not stop the transition to democracy inside of Iraq. Let's hear from our commander-in-chief.
The terrorists are doing all they can to stop the rise of a free Iraq. But their bombs and attacks have not prevented Iraqi sovereignty, and they will not prevent Iraqi democracy.
What a lying sack of poop. I mean, first of all, democracy wasn't the agenda. The agenda was our security. They were supposed to have weapons of mass destruction there. They were supposed to have chemical weapons there. They were supposed to be an immediate threat to us. That's how he sold it to the American people. They were supposed to be in bed with terrorists. And none of this stuff turned out to be true. You know what I mean? It amazes to me how many people in this country are willing to continue to hold a grudge against Bill Clinton for sticking his wee-wee into the mouth of an intern. But this guy lied to the American public, sucked all our troops over there, 800 and some odd troops are dead, thousands and thousands of civilians are dead, and people are willing to overlook the fact that he lied to get us into this. And after we talked to Michael Ware, that whole trip, man, that he's basically, Michael Ware said, now not only is terrorism connected with Iraq, Iraq is the capital of terrorism. You have all these ex-Baathists, you have all these people from Osama's folks up in Pakistan, all of them are coming together with enough money to put together an Islamic front and maintain a jihad for however long they want to. And they're thinking about, you know, moving up into the old Serbia and all these other areas. And what he just painted out for us was that because George Bush, in a unilateral, arrogant, stupid action to further his own politics and his own administration's desire for world domination, has created a capital for terrorism. Iraq is now, especially in the Sunni heartland, according to Michael Ware, the capital of terrorism, and there's no way to infiltrate it. They might be able to go in there and bomb it or whatever, but right now what George Bush has done, outside of not finding any weapons of mass destruction, outside of not made any connection between terrorism and Iraq previous to his attack there, and not killed Osama bin Laden, not killed the leader, the guy responsible for killing our people in the Twin Towers, who is now overseeing a jihad that has never been seen before, and they now have the place to train, Iraq.
You know, it's incredible when you start looking at this. I mean, Michael Ware said that Zakawi, the guy that we now say has killed 700 people, was a bit player in this entire scenario prior to the United States invasion of Iraq.
Yeah, he was just a side guy.
Yeah, he was around, you know, kind of peddling his terrorist services. Now he's got a country from which to operate. And the United States government and the Iraqi military, which in essence, as we heard Michael say, doesn't really exist at all, and the Iraqi police forces don't seem to be equipped to stop any of this.
But isn't that amazing? He told us that Bremer disbanded the Iraqi army, and the security services, the police forces in Iraq, are not reliable at all, because most of them, when pushed to the wall, will either turn and run or turn and shoot at the Americans.
Yeah, and see, this, Mark, is where we're getting to a very strange mirror image. On the one hand, you had the neoconservatives in Washington who believed that the invasion of Iraq would be the first step in a series of dominoes that included Syria and all these other places, so that you would create this whole democratic, non-threatening to Israel, by the way, region in the Middle East that would be essentially kowtowed to American interests. That was their goal. Iraq was the first step in that goal. Now you have the insurgents, the militants, the Baathists, the jihadists all coming together in Iraq and saying, you know what, we want to redraw the map of the Middle East to reflect what we want to see happen, which is essentially an Islamic fundamentalist regional state, not just Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Lebanon, Syria, the entire region they want. So now they're looking at it much in the way the neocons were looking at it, not just Iraq, the region.
Yeah, they're like, thank you, Mr. Bush. We can now unite under one banner and under many states. So now what's going to happen is we are in a state of perpetual war, not unlike the Cold War, only the Cold War was a standoff. This is going to be an active conflict on many different fronts in many different countries that's going to require an awful lot of funding and an awful lot of American military might and military services. And it's insidious and evil that on some level this plays right into their plan. You know, if there's peace, then people like George Bush and his cronies cannot make a living.
Well, George Bush, prior to the handover, and again, I don't know that the poll numbers are going to change as a direct result of the handover, but a pre-handover poll shows that his approval rating is at a startling 42%, lowest of his presidency. At this time in 92, his dad's approval rating was at 34%.
And he was done.
And he was done.
I so hope this president is done. I cannot believe this. If anybody in this country buys this handover as some sign of success, they've got to be we're not going to use that word. Stupid. Just stupid. I don't want to take anything away from mentally handicapped people by giving people who think that George Bush is a good president the title of retarded. They're just stupid. You know, and the thing is like the Hussein turnover as well. I mean it's empty.
It's empty. He's trying apparently to wash his hands of Iraq symbolically or perhaps I guess in reality, so that his poll numbers will stop tanking. I don't think he's got much of a chance.
James Galbraith says it doesn't matter what happens in the world. The poll numbers will continue going down. Still ahead, former Reagan Assistant Secretary of Defense Lawrence Korb, and up next, my dream diary, right here on Air America Radio.
Do you know that 7 companies decide the films you get to see? As a result, fewer and fewer truly groundbreaking films are being released, so you, as a moviegoer, have less access to anything other than the standard Hollywood fare. Hi, I'm Larry Maestrich, founder of Film Movement, and producer of films such as Sling Blade and You Can Count on Me. Film Movement is a true grassroots movement of film fans who want greater access to alternative voices in film. Each month, subscribers to Film Movement receive an award-winning independent film to own on DVD, directly from top film festivals such as Cannes and Sundance. Subscribe to Film Movement through Air America at airamericaradio.com in June and receive a free copy of The Party's Over, a critically acclaimed documentary narrated by Philip Seymour Hoffman about the state of democracy in America. Everyone deserves access to the best new releases. These films deserve to be seen. Help us support independent thinking by joining Film Movement or giving Film Movement as a gift for Father's Day or graduation. Subscribe today at airamericaradio.com.
In life, there are well-thought-out choices.
Yeah, I'll go with the 6-cylinder.
Radials, absolutely.
Definitely the 4-wheel drive.
And there are ill-considered choices.
Oh, I'm not partial. Any grade will do.
Just whatever's the cheapest, okay?
What do you think, Rex?
Fortunately, a lot of people do give some thought to the gasoline they choose. And people who choose premium gasoline choose Amoco Ultimate at BP more often than any other premium fuel. It's America's best-selling premium. With continuous use of Amoco Ultimate, deposits on critical engine parts that can rob a car of performance get cleaned up and stay clean, giving you smooth acceleration, less hesitation, and better fuel economy. And lower deposits means less harmful emissions. That can lead to cleaner air for everyone. So the next time you get ready to choose a premium gasoline,
we'll go with the regular. Better make that Ultimate.
For more performance and less pollution, choose America's best-selling premium. Amoco Ultimate at BP.
Mom, can you take me to Supercuts?
Excuse me? Since when do you care what you look like?
Seriously, Mom, I need a haircut.
Is it a girl? Oh, my Lord, you're already into girls. My little boy's growing up. Oh, soon you'll be in college.
Mom, I'm 7.
And then you'll marry this girl, who we haven't even met yet, and be a big corporate executive. Oh, you look so good in a suit.
Are you going to take me to Supercuts, or should I call a cab?
And you'll be bringing the grandkids on the
Let's face it, your kids are growing up whether you like it or not. That's why Supercuts promises to give them a look you'll both love, usually quicker than it takes to get them to brush their teeth.
Dad, can you take me to Supercuts?
Supercuts? Jeez, where's the time gone? I mean, you were just a little baby, and now you're in school, growing hair.
Supercuts. We know how it is.
With over 1,700 locations, it's never been more convenient to let Supercuts take care of you and your hair. Call 1-800-SUPERCUTS or log on to supercuts.com for a location nearest you. And while you're there, check out the latest episode of The Mop Squad.
Good morning, 17 after the hour. I'm Mark Maron with Mark Riley. This is Morning Sedition. You're listening to Air America Radio. We're all jazzed, juiced, and raged up.
Yes.
After that conversation with Michael Ware, Times Baghdad bureau chief. Man, oh man. But right now, it's time for my dream diary. I wrote this down, and let me see if I can make out my scribble. I go to the therapist on Thursday. Here you go. I'm going to share it with you. I'm the new prime minister of Iraq. I've got on these flowing robes and this fuzzy Beetle Bailey hat, and the whole room's full of people dressed just like me, and they're expecting a speech. Words of encouragement, resolve, vision, I got nothing. I open my mouth, and the only thing that comes out is, don't you people realize I'm a Jew? The only thing we have in common is the no pork deal. And we both think Bush is a douchebag. Okay, that's two things, but I'm just whistling at my ass here. Sorry. They just nod and applaud. A tall guy with a mustache comes up and says, Prime Minister Al-Marin, you honor us with your decisive leadership and your generous gifts. I turned to the translator. What just happened? Apparently, I just promised them that all U.S. personnel would leave Iraq in 48 hours and give every citizen a DVD player, $400 in mad money, and 72 virgins. I start to panic. I don't know where I'm going to dig up the $400 a piece, much less the virgins. So I try to find the men's room when this huge guy from Halliburton wearing shades and an earpiece blocks me and tells me I've got to get permission first. But I'm the prime minister, I say. This is state business. Doesn't matter. I have to ask. But LBJ used to have meetings on the crapper, I say. He shakes his head and pats his shoulder holster. I'm hopping around on one leg. I'm turning various shades of lavender. My bladder dials 911. Finally, near death, I say, okay, who do I have to ask? He nods across the room at Dick Cheney, who's smiling and holding the bathroom key. Right? Okay. So Cheney looks right at me, wink, and says, welcome to my world. Now go yourself. I woke up and my bed was filled with and a little, yeah. What does that mean? Here we go. Switching gears. On the phone, we have a former Assistant Secretary of Defense under Reagan, now a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. Good morning, Lawrence Korb. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
Well, man,
thank you for being with us.
Thanks for being with us. Our brains are on fire here. We just talked to Michael Ware, who's in Baghdad, and he laid out some information that just blew our mind. But to start off with, they're turning Saddam over tomorrow. What kind of trial is he going to get, do you think?
Well, I think he will have a trial in an Iraqi court with an international lawyer. I don't think it'll be like Milosevic's before the International Criminal Court that'll go on for a couple of years. But I think what they'll do is they'll lay out the case against him for all of the things that he's done, over the years to his people.
Right.
And he will get the death sentence.
What does this handover really mean, the handover of Iraq? Is it, does it really mean anything in terms of, like, it just seems to me after talking to Michael Ware that, Bremer has disbanded the Iraqi army, that the place is out of control, the troops are all still in place. I mean, what does the handover really mean? Is it symbolic?
Yes, it's more symbolic than real. I mean, basically what we've done is we've given limited powers, not sovereignty. I mean, either you have sovereignty or you don't. Either you're in charge or you're not in charge, and they're certainly not in charge. of everything, and they're basically a satellite of the United States, at least until they have elections.
And the assumption here is, and we've been saying this for weeks, and was confirmed in our conversation with Michael, was that, do you think, and I'm asking you now, Lawrence Korb, that what we've done essentially in Iraq is create a haven, if not a capital, for terrorist activity?
Oh, very definitely. I mean, if you had drawn up a blueprint and say, how can you re-energize, the terrorist groups like Al-Qaeda, what you should have done is go into Iraq when you did under basically false pretenses, which confirmed in their mind all these horrible things that groups like Al-Qaeda say about us.
And I've got a speculative question.
Lawrence Korb, what needs to happen to reform the police department and the military security forces inside of Iraq. We've seen reports and heard reports from American military personnel that say that when they have gone out on joint maneuvers, when they've gone out to fight insurgents together, in many instances they've seen U.S.-trained Iraqi police either disappear on them or in some cases join forces with the insurgents. Can Alawi stop that?
Well, that would be the hope, because now they are not fighting for the Americans. They're fighting for their own state, and that's the whole idea of transferring this control to an Iraqi government. And if that doesn't work, then, you know, the United States and the other countries are just going to have to be there to maintain order almost forever. But that, you really got to happen where they put the loyalty to the state above the clan or whatever group they might be fighting. The other problem we've had is because we try to build those up so quickly so that we didn't have to put the number of troops that were necessary, it's been infiltrated a lot by the insurgents, as well as the fact that they're not really very well trained at all.
Are you optimistic that NATO's commitment to training troops, even if it's outside of Iraq, can work?
Well, I mean, they can train them, but the real contribution you'd like from NATO is to make this a NATO operation so that you would get not just more troops from Europe, but you'd get them more from around the world, and this would lessen the pressure on the United States, and it would be the international community rather than the United States that would have responsibility for what happens.
Now, as if, to get back to what you were saying before, if Alawi becomes as strong and becomes Saddam-like in his might in terms of dealing with the insurgencies, I mean, isn't the United States going to have to take some onus for that?
Well, they are. I mean, because we're, you know, as Colin Powell told President Bush, you know, if you go in there, you know, he said the Pottery Barn analogy, you break it, you own it. And we do have responsibility. I mean, a situation might arise. You might have an election, and they elect an Ayatollah-like figure who wants to set up an Iranian-style situation. Then what do you do?
What are the chances of that? Since Islamist sentiment is so strong there, isn't it possible, strongly possible, that they would legitimately elect an Islamic government?
Well, that is a very, very real possibility. Then, of course, if nothing else, the Kurds wouldn't stand for that. They would try and secede, which, of course, would cause problems with the Turks, who don't want to see an independent Kurdistan because they're afraid that the Turks in Turkey, the Kurds in Turkey, would join up with this state.
Lawrence Korb, let's talk about the Kurds for a moment. They don't often get talked about in this Iraqi equation, but they do have a relatively, from what I understand, prosperous situation going on in the north of Iraq. And they, in fact, even in terms of this interim government, want to see some degree of self-rule. How much self-rule is enough for the Kurds?
Well, what the Kurds want to do is they want to have what in our country we call the protection of minority rights. They want to have a situation where if three of the provinces disagree with something the central government is trying to do, it won't happen. And the Ayatollah Sistani is opposed to that, because in the interim constitution, which is still basically the law of the land, if three of the 18 provinces are against something, it can't happen. And so that's going to be a real contest. You're going to have to start with the Kurds, or a federal structure like we have, and, you know, with states' rights in certain areas where the Kurds can make their own decisions, or it'll never work.
I got Lawrence Korb is the senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. Now, what we're speculating here, and after talking to Michael Ware as well, is that there is a jihad actively going on that is, you know, being run and operated out of Pakistan by Osama bin Laden and al-Zarqawi in Iraq and many other fringe groups and Islamic groups that could create a sort of, you know, pan-Islamic front through many different countries. You know, how does this play out militarily? I mean, it's almost like it's worse than the Cold War.
Well, it's worse than the Cold War in the sense that, we and the Russians sort of stared at each other. You know, we didn't fire nuclear weapons. We did have surrogates that would start wars in various places, like Korea, for example.
Right.
So, in terms of...
we don't need surrogates.
In terms of frustration, this could, you know, in the various places where you'd have to deal with it, it could be worse. And basically, you've got And this is not something we can win by ourselves. We're going to have to get the cooperation of the rest of the world to deal with this, because it's not just a threat to the United States, as we've seen. You know, you've had the attacks in Madrid, you've had attacks in Istanbul, you've had attacks over in Bali. So,
well, they have to deal with it because it's in their country as well.
That's right. And so we're going to have to work together, share intelligence, dry up their financial assets, and take action where we need. But if you take action under a multilateral apparatus, then you're going to get much more help, and you'll be seen as much more legitimate in the eyes of the moderate Arabs and Muslims.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Lawrence Corb, we're just about out of time. Quick question. Is it your understanding that the Iraqi sovereignty means that they will, in fact, now the Alawi government will get the oil profits that the country generates, or will that still be going to the Americans?
Well, there's an oil ministry, and there's going to be a board set up to decide, you know, what happens to the money. But right now it's almost an academic question, because they're not pumping enough oil even to provide for their own needs, let alone, you know, export it. But as it goes, there is an oil ministry, and you're going to have a board set up to decide, you know, where the money should go.
Thanks a lot, Lawrence Corb. Great talking to you.
All right, appreciate it.
From the Center for American Progress.
Coming up, the morning devotional, Birth of a Nation, and Bush spanked by his friends on the Supreme Court. This is Air America Radio.
This year, you are going to quit smoking. Whether you've said it for years or you're trying for the very first time, there's a revolutionary new system that's guaranteed to help you succeed or your money back. SmokeRx has a 95% success rate, so we guarantee that you'll be completely smoke-free and cravings-free in as little as 1 week. Unlike gums or patches, SmokeRx is a complete system that includes natural herbs to curb your cravings safely without nicotine. Best of all, SmokeRx starts to work immediately. Come on. Aren't you willing to give yourself 1 week to quit? We're so confident that SmokeRx will work for you that we're giving away a free month's supply with all of today's orders. Whether you're doing it for yourself or for the ones you love, SmokeRx is the fast, guaranteed answer. In as little as 1 week, you'll kick the habit for good or your money back. Call now to receive a free month's supply with your order.
To order risk-free, call 1-800-305-2704. That's 1-800-305-2704. Call 1-800-305-2704 now.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Iraqi militants have released 3 Turkish hostages after their captors expressed solidarity with their Muslim brothers from Turkey. Meanwhile, another 2 will be set free after their Turkish company agreed to sever ties with the U.S. military to spare their lives. President Bush is reportedly banking on a boost in poll numbers now that Iraq has been transferred to sovereignty and Saddam Hussein will be turned over tomorrow to the new authority. But the latest New York Times CBS News poll says Bush's numbers are still in the toilet. His numbers are worse than what his father had around the time he saw the second term against a little-known governor named Bill Clinton. President Bush is making an address this hour in Turkey, pushing for democratic reform in the Middle East with the help of NATO, and the U.S. Supreme Court has rejected a police interrogation tactic designed to induce suspects to give incriminating statements after deliberately delaying the Miranda warnings. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Imagine living truly debt-free. No credit card debt, no car payments, no mortgage. Just your daily living expenses. And you can do this with just the money you already make. I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth program. I did it, and so have nearly 500,000 others using my proven system.
I'm completely debt-free now thanks to John Commuta.
I will be able to pay off my house in approximately 2.5 years on a 30-year mortgage.
It works no matter how much debt you have. My system doesn't consolidate your debt. It eliminates it. It's easy, risk-free, and works with any income level.
And once we got on the system, we were able to eliminate about 90% of our debt, where now we're down to just our mortgage.
Just imagine the financial freedom of being debt-free.
I never have to worry about who's calling me or who's knocking on my door.
Call now, and I'll rush you a free tape that will show you the power of my proven system. Call 1-800-300-4662. Stop renting your lifestyle and start owning your life. 1-800-300-4662. That's 1-800-300-4662.
Hey, it's summertime.
summertime, all right, and all that summer sun and heat you're taking in right now can really dry out your lips. So here's a little tip to help keep lips moisturized and protected. ChapStick Lip Moisturizer. That's right. ChapStick Lip Moisturizer's got SPF 15 and 10 moisturizers, like aloe and vitamin E, to moisturize summer-dried lips and help keep them feeling great. Because summertime is ChapStick time, too. Use as directed.
The O'Franken Factor.
Hi, this is Al Franken. Tuesday on the O'Franken Factor, we celebrate the first 24 hours of Iraqi independence with an exclusive interview with Saddam Hussein. Here's what he had to say.
What? Chipped beef again?
Iraq expert Tom Engelhart and former Bush supporter David Barrett on an ultra-special Tuesday. It's an O'Franken world we live in.
On Air America Radio.
Good morning. I'm Mark Maron. I'm here with Mark Riley. This is Morning Sedition. You are listening to Air America Radio. What a morning, and it's been. It's some great, great information we got from these interviews we did today with Lawrence Korb and Michael Ware. Lawrence Korb from the Center for
American Progress.
Center for American Progress, which I read every day but cannot get it through my head what how to say it. And Michael Ware, Times Baghdad Bureau Chief, maybe we'll be playing some clips later in the episode from that, because mind-blowing stuff about Iraq. But now, let's take it home, back home, home side, state side. Supreme Court rules in favor of the Constitution. The Supreme Court is reenacting the Constitution.
The Supreme Court is acting like it's got some stones for a change. Maybe it's because Bush is out of town. He's over in Galatasaray now in Turkey.
Scalia had to save some face.
Some
right?
face, yeah. Well, I mean, Bush is lecturing to a group of people who would like to, who look like they would rather be anyplace else but sitting and listening to this guy. But in the meantime, back home, the Supreme Court has dealt a body blow. Spanked the Bush administration. Its handling of terror suspects, both foreign and domestic. In two cases, the High Court ruled the government does not have the right to seize and detain terror suspects and deny access to lawyers while they're being interrogated. Justice Sandra Day O'Connor wrote that a state of war, quote, is not a blank check for the president when it comes to the rights of its nation's citizens. That was in a ruling that gave U.S.-born detainee Yasser Hamdi the right to fight his detention in federal court. Separately, the court ruled that nearly 600 men from 42 countries now detained at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, can also use the U.S. courts to contest their detention. Mark, first of all, I didn't know there were 600 people in Guantanamo.
I'll tell you right now, there's some lawyer in Florida saying, okay, look, if we rent a crop duster, a small single-engine plane, we'll put about 1,000 of my business cards in there. We'll just dump it over Guantanamo. Yeah, but boss, they'll shoot you down. Look, it's worth a shot. There's a lot of money in them.
Yeah, really? Because they wouldn't be working pro bono, would they?
No. What are you kidding
you
me?
You think they get to see TV commercials here for Jacoby and Myers and Binder and Binder and somebody's law firm?
There's plenty of Saudi money to pay for their defense.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. You know, I wonder, because there have been questions all along about how strong the government's case against some of these people, in fact, is or are. I forgot which tense I was actually using there for a moment.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute, because we were talking about this before the show, you know, back when it was dark.
Dark, yeah.
but the thing is like, you know, these people were pulled in sweeps on, you know, we don't even know, you know, how solid the evidence was. It could have just been, you know, somebody mentioning them or a connection, a vague connection to somebody who they suspect is a terrorist. So they're all put in the brig. And now they're afforded their rights. Now, the risk of this is, and the reason why the Patriot Act was put into place, was specifically to even if there's a slight chance, let's just get them all and put them all in there.
Yeah.
Now, you have to say, on some level, there has not been, since 9/11, any terrorist activity here that we know of directly related to Islamic terrorism or jihad, right?
Yes.
So I don't know whether or not, well, and also before 9/11, there wasn't that much either.
No, it's true. There 9/11 was a seminal moment.
Yeah, there was the other World Trade Center attack, and that was completely affiliated with the same people and the same sorts that did the 9/11 thing. So now, whether or not they're guilty or not, the thing is if you start, you know, letting them out and giving them trials, and it turns out that terrorism goes up, you know, what happens then? Do you know what I mean? There's a whole other discussion. See, I'm under the belief is you have to take that kind of risk in order to maintain a constitutional democracy.
Well, I think you do to a certain extent. But, Mark, remember that allowing them access to lawyers and saying that they can have trials does not by itself free them.
Right.
You know, they may have to post bail like anybody else who's accused of a crime. They may end up going to court with a lawyer and being convicted. And hey, if you are, you know, committing acts of terror against me and mine, I got a problem with that. I think they ought to lock you up.
Well, the big fear is that, like, not unlike in my head, that these cells sort of activate over, you know, years and years, over long periods of time. Many of the people that, you know, flew into the trade towers, you know, were not acting like Islamic fundamentalists. They were going to strip clubs. They were integrating themselves into American culture. Mm-hmm. They were not talking about it to other people. I mean, and I agree with you that, you know, they deserve representation. They deserve due process. They deserve their day in court. But, you know, it is like it's difficult to assess this. You know, this threat, you know, yeah. What I mean, in terms of, you know, how secretive they are or whatever, you know?
Oh, no, you're absolutely right. I just think that at a point you have to start saying, look, you don't want, particularly to give a president who already seems to have some imperial designs anyway, but you don't want to give a president unilateral power over who can be locked up and who can have access to an attorney.
Forever, right.
Yeah, forever. Yeah. Because, you know, theoretically, Justice O'Connor, in her opinion, wrote, this kind of detention could be for the rest of a person's life. And there's nobody in the administration saying, well, no, we got a time limit.
No, and I absolutely agree. I think they all deserve due process, and I think that, you know, it's a risk we have to take in order to sustain democracy and not be ruled by this particular king.
Absolutely.
We'll be back on Air America Radio with your calls, maybe.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep, the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air, or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free Better Sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
Hello from Athens, Greece, folks. Now, if you're a big sports fan like me, this is the place to be. They've got them all. Take fencing. My sword of choice is always the foil over the saber in F.A. You've got to see it. That's why Connell Lodge and Roadway Inn Hotels have created the Wake Up a Winner sweepstakes. You could win a trip to the big events in Athens. To enter, visit choicehotels.com, or every time you stay at a Connell Lodge and Roadway Inn Hotels this summer, you'll get a game piece with a chance to win hundreds of prizes and discounts off your next stay. Wake Up a Winner. To book, call 800-4-CHOICE or go to choicehotels.com. Well, I'm off to rhythmic gymnastics, where it always comes down to who nails the tightest ribbon snake. Choice Hotel. We'll see you there.
No purchase necessary. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 and older. Void where prohibited. Promotion runs June 7th through August 29th, 2004. For official rules and how to enter without purchase, visit choicehotels.com.
If you want to do more with your home improvement project and with your budget, you can. The Home Depot can show you how. If you want to know more and know you're getting the lowest price every day, you can. Others try to get by on just a promise, but the Home Depot comes through time after time. It's how we were built, with a solid history and pure passion for bringing you the lowest possible prices on everything from washers and bolts to washers and dryers. When you buy as much as we do, you can afford to sell for less. That's the power of buying power. Simple stuff, just like our 10% price guarantee. If you ever find a lower price somewhere else, the Home Depot will beat it by 10%. Plus, if you want to get special finance offers that let you buy now and pay later, you can. Just ask an associate for details. If you want to pull it all together and know you're making your dollars and your dreams go farther, you can. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
We'll be right back.
42 past the hour. You're listening to Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. I'm here with Mark Riley.
Hey.
This is Air America Radio. Give us a call, 866-303-2270. 866-303-AAR0. I'd like to talk a little bit about due process and terrorism and the new rulings that the Supreme Court just laid out. Right now, it's time for our new segment, which was Countdown to Democracy Now, Birth of a Nation. Since the handover of power, we'd like to explore various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraqi Birth of a Nation, Day 2. Leaders of Iraq, yes, good going. You made it to Day 2. Today would be a good day to look over some of the paperwork from the handover. I know, but you got to do it sometime. Now, get that sheet out that Bremer made you sign. All right, now get out your magnifying glass. Trust me, it's important. Trust me, it's important. See the fine print? Sure, now you do. Hear what it says. We, the nation of Iraq, agree to, one, babysit 100,000 American troops who are increasingly paranoid, bored, and heavily armed. Two, supply us with unlimited oil at low prices so we can continue to liberate the rest of your neighbors. Three, distance yourself from Islamic terrorism and if possible, Islam. And if you'd like to continue receiving humanitarian aid, you might want to get baptized. And four, you agreed to buy clear coat, extended warranty, and factory air. That's hey, look, dude, it's right here. You initiated it. Plus, it's worth it. There's nothing like that new democracy smell. Keep up the good work. This is day two in Birth of a Nation. Live free or die. So, the Supreme Court ruling is an amazing boost to what is known as constitutional freedom. Democracy, that, you know, this thing can live and breathe, that these people should be able to have their day in court.
Well, I don't understand why this president ever thought they should not have a day in court, that they should just be detained as enemy combatants forever and ever, whatever. We see, of course, and actually, we really haven't seen any of there have been prisoners from Guantanamo who have alleged some very, very bad things happened to them there.
Yeah.
Much like Abu Ghraib.
Yeah.
And we have yet to see pictures, but, you know, one wonders what they're talking about. And hopefully there will be some level of investigation to find out exactly what was going on at Guantanamo, what has been going on in terms of the interrogation of these detainees. I don't know what his purpose was in keeping them incognito for so long. In a couple of cases, we're talking about people who've been, you know, essentially locked up since 2002.
Well, I think that it was from the initial sweep that they weren't able to do because of the Patriot Act and because of the immense amount of momentum that came from the fear of terrorists within this country. We got Esteban in Manhattan who's got something to say about the Gitmo ruling. Esteban, how are you?
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
All right, how you doing, Esteban?
Well, you just started to mention that, you know, there, a lot of these men and probably even women are have a lot of complaints about what's been done to them. Now that they can have lawyers present, we're going to hear a whole lot more of these stories. And not only that, with what the government has done to them illegally, not just locking them up without due process, but also torturing them and having people, these independent contractors who we know to be mercenaries,
right,
questioning them in using all these horrible tactics.
Right.
A lot of these guys who, for example, who might be guilty, are probably will be let off because of what the United States did. They just shot themselves in the foot big time by just doing the sweep without really thinking about things.
Oh, so you're saying that a lot of the people that may be guilty might be let off on technicalities?
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, not just, you know, severe technicalities. We're talking about, you know, the things.
Lack of evidence, perhaps.
Lack of evidence and abuse. Well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's an interesting point. Thanks for your call. He's saying that if they reenact the Constitution, which I like saying, that these people will find, you know, through lawyers and loopholes and also through, you know, abuse allegations and even, you know, technicalities, that I imagine if they are awarded due process that many they'll have to answer to the process of law on all things. And many of them will be let off even if they're guilty, so it'll come back around to bite them in the butt and probably bite a lot more people in the butt. That's the fear.
Well, yeah, the U.S. law is such that, you know, that there have been situations in the past where Americans who have been accused of crimes, who may have been guilty of them, have been acquitted at trial. You know, so you have to convince 12 people, and the onus is on the prosecution, not on the defense.
Well, it's just, boy, I just got exasperated.
Deep, isn't it?
Yeah, it is deep because, you know, this is, you know, you have to assume that they will be keeping an eye on people that they are truly suspect of. And on some level, you kind of want them to do that.
Yeah.
That if somebody has had, you know, conversations or, you know, meetings with, you know, people who are suspected of terrorism, that they are, you know, under a surveillance situation. Give us a call, 866-303-2270. Ozzy, Avi, New Jersey.
Avi.
Me.
Hey, what's up?
Oh, Mark one, Mark two. I love you all, man.
Oh, thank you very much.
You are, you know, you're great. You're great. This radio station really, you know, make my day, you know.
Oh, good. Thanks. Glad to hear it.
So great, you know, because you are saying the truth, all right?
Oh, thank you.
We're trying.
People, they, some people that I know, they call me Gakami, you know, because I come from Romania, okay?
Uh-huh.
I came 23 years ago in this country because I you know, I said, okay, I got to get rid of communism. I got to get rid of a dictator, which was Ceausescu at that time.
Yes.
A president elected for life.
Oh, yeah.
For 44 years, you know, he ruled the country. I was beaten up. I lived through kind of bad things to me, okay? So, you know, I'm not, you know, I know what was going on.
Yes.
And then I left that place thinking that, oh, right, I'm coming here.
Yes.
I came at the time of Reagan, okay?
Uh-huh.
And then after that,
yeah,
slowly and slowly, you know, I was like, wait a minute. I left a place to replace it with another place. You know, it's the same thing.
So your fear is that America is becoming similar to Romania under Ceausescu.
Yes. And you know what? Because the Americans, they take everything for granted. They don't know. They have no idea what's going to happen
right
to them.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, thank you for your call. So
I
he's saying that,
that
it's one of those weird fears that, you know, it's sort of like, you know, there's plenty of people, myself included some days, where it's like, you know, where you find yourself saying, come on, that could never happen here. And, you know, sometimes with this administration, with some of the things they're putting into place, like, you know, certain provisions of the Patriot Act, you realize that, you know, terrorists are the enemy today. But who's to say that, you know, not unlike you were talking about earlier, you know, that an ideology and a law, not a law, but, you know, a device can stay in place after the agenda changes. It's terrorists today. Maybe it's going to be, you know, Jews tomorrow, chronic masturbators. Who knows what they
do? Who knows?
But once the method is in place and supported by law, then anybody can be taken to task.
Any despot can take anyone off our
streets. And it's unconstitutional.
Yeah, of course it's unconstitutional. And Avi makes a very good point because he's lived through that already.
Yeah.
He's gone through that in another country, so he probably better than most Americans understands when it starts to creep into this country.
We're going to continue taking your calls, 866-303-2270, and wait till you hear what Bush said just moments ago in Turkey, yeah?
Yeah.
We'll bring that to you. Stay tuned. Air America Radio.
Our national parks have always been there for us, standing as silent reminders of who we are and what it means to be an American. They are full of history, of memories, of majesty. But now these great American treasures need our help. I'm Richard Dreyfuss, asking you to help preserve America's national parks. Visit AmericansForNationalParks.org today, because there's just too much to lose.
This is a public service announcement from Americans for National Parks and this radio station.
LendingTree.com presents 2 steps for controlling the home buying process. Step 1. Go to LendingTree.com and get up to 4 great mortgage offers within hours. Step 2. Stay at LendingTree.com and get up to 4 leading real estate agents within hours. So, to choose the mortgage and agent that's right for you, call 1-800-555-TREE or visit LendingTree.com. See website for details and state license disclosures. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions may apply.
Gary Boland, COVID technician on reality television.
Oh, you mean the news?
On global warming.
I love summer.
And on business broadband.
I'm glad you asked. You know, the key to choosing broadband is the same as any business decision. It's value. At COVID, you get broadband built for business for less than the local phone company's repackaged residential plans. In fact, your business could save hundreds of dollars a year with COVID. Plus, with the security of SDSL dedicated lines and 99.9% uptime guaranteed, you can relax, knowing your business isn't going to hit a brick wall. Now, I could go on.
Gary Bolin on astrology.
Well, I've always wanted to go to space.
Business broadband. COVID knows it like nobody else. To get broadband billed for business, call 1-800-555-0454. Plus, get a free router after mail-in rebate through June 30th, 2004, when your business signs up at 1-800-555-0454 or gocovid.com. See website for guaranteed details and availability. Saving based on published rates, March 10, 2004.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
Past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley on Air America Radio's Morning Sedition.
Good morning!
We're bringing back a bit we haven't done in a while, but not all the time. We're starting to mix it up a little bit, but...
Yeah.
You know what time it is, Mark? It's time for the morning devotional.
Ah,
dear Lord, a death row inmate will die tomorrow because a jury in Georgia agreed with the prosecution that the Ten Commandments doesn't recognize insanity as a defense for murder. Now, you didn't intend the Ten Commandments to be a law book, did you? Is it okay with you that people are interpreting it this way? Let's walk through this. Moses goes up to a mountain, sees a burning bush. The bush tells him he's God and gives him two tablets with 10 laws that everyone is supposed to live by. If anybody needs an insanity defense, Lord, it's Moses. Now, I'm not against the commandments themselves. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. These seem pretty solid to me. But honor thy mother and father? Hey, look, I know dads who can fart the national anthem. Not a lot of honor there. Do you know what I'm saying, Lord? What I'm trying to say is this. God, just because it's not in the Ten Commandments doesn't mean it's wrong. The commandments were a start, not the finish. Right? Thank you for listening. Love you, man. You're the best. Amen. Now, we got some people on the phone. We've also got, I promise you, a little snippet of Bush's speech in Turkey. Why don't we lay into that right now? This is him giving a little rap to the Turkish people there.
About democracy and standards.
Yes.
Some people in Muslim cultures identify democracy with the worst of Western popular culture and want no part of it. And I assure them, when I speak about the blessings of liberty, coarse videos, and crass commercialism are not what I have in mind. There is nothing incompatible between democratic values and high standards of decency.
What I have in mind is a theocratic state where these things are outlawed, and the only things that are allowed are what my administration dictates to be allowed based on good Christian values.
Yeah, right, and Britney Spears can sing.
Yeah, we cannot have these videos out there of people enjoying themselves and create enjoyment amongst other people, or commercialism that enables people to make a living and express themselves freely in many different ways. That is not democracy from where I'm sitting. We want it to be more like the Taliban. Anyways, hey, Jack in Knoxville, how are you, buddy?
Hey, Jack.
Hey.
Hey.
What's up?
Not much, man. How you doing?
Great show.
Thank you so much.
I don't know how many people here in this little tired town I live in listen to you guys, but I finally found you on the internet, and it's so good to hear you.
Oh, man, we appreciate that, Jack, and we appreciate you listening. And tell the people down there in Knoxville.
Yeah, I am. When do you think you'll get a station around here?
That's a good question. I'm going to ask the guy who's in charge of that today if I can find him.
Yeah.
Well, we've got a local affiliate. It's called Knoxville's First Amendment Radio.
Uh-huh.
It's an FM broadcast.
Uh-huh. Oh, great.
So you mean they may put us on the air?
Well, I don't know. That's what I was hoping maybe you guys could check into. I don't know anything about it.
We'll get the guy who's in charge of that on it immediately. Yeah.
It's not your responsibility, Jack. I'll try and take care of it from my end.
All right. Keep up with the good work, and it's about damn time somebody started telling the truth about this screwed-up administration.
Thank you so much
for
coming back. Really appreciate it.
And thanks for not cursing too much.
Are we taking any more calls, or that's it for now? What are we doing?
Wait, do we have one more? Who was that?
We don't have time. All right, we'll have to take you on the rebound there later in the next hour, Tank, if you're still into it.
Is that Tank or Tariq?
Tariq. Oh, Tariq. I'm sorry.
I thought it was Tank too.
I couldn't read it. Tank.
So George W. is finished in Istanbul and Galatasaray in Turkey.
Dude, he looks like he's all wrapped up, and they're leading him away to find out what he needs to do next. But and we'll have the Palm Pilot again the next hour.
Yes.
Also, we're going to play some of that Michael Ware interview from the Times Baghdad bureau chief. We talked to this guy earlier in this hour, or maybe it was the last hour. I can't remember, but. Man, mind-blowing stuff. He was just sort of like, you know, he was unabashed, and he just said, this is what's going on in Iraq. It's your worst nightmare. The invasion of Iraq created a terrorist manufacturing plant, a capital. I don't want to tell you too much. I'm going to sacrifice some of my Mark Riley, Mark Maron time to play you the Michael Ware clip after the news. So stay tuned. Mark, what do you got?
In the next hour of Morning's Edition, the Presidential Palm Pilot Recovery Corner, the Liberal Agenda, and more here. On Air America Radio.
Welcome to What's On My Mind. First question. 1 in 3 chance you'll need it on vacation.
Duct tape? Saddle shoes? D-batteries?
Actually, Imodium.
Oh, I knew that. There's a 1 in 3 chance you'll get diarrhea on foreign vacations. Imodium works often in windows.
If you know all about Imodium, why didn't you say it?
TV chittered?
This is radio.
Oh.
Until next time.
Pack Imodium AD. Pack wisely. Use only as directed. About 1 in 3 travelers to developing countries get diarrhea.
Weeds like dandelion, clover, and hundreds of others can stand between you and a thick green lawn. That's why Bayer Advanced created Triple Action Lawn Fertilizer Plus Weed Control. It does 2 jobs at once. It kills 4 times as many types of weeds as the leading brand, while it feeds at every level. The grass, the roots, plus it fortifies the soil for a thicker, deep-down green that lasts longer. Without the weeds, guaranteed. Bayer Advanced. Better thinking, better results. Available at Lowe's and other garden retailers.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York, the home of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. President Bush continues his stay in Turkey, where he has been meeting with other NATO members in a bid to elicit help to stabilize Iraq. Bush told a gathering this morning in Istanbul that democracy must be chosen. That statement will certainly come under scrutiny from administration critics who have questioned Bush's motives in Iraq.
This transformation is one of the great and difficult tasks of history. And by our own patience and hard effort, and with confidence in the peoples of the Middle East, we will finish the work that history has given us. Democracy, by definition, must be chosen and defended by the people themselves.
President Bush, as he was addressing a gathering this morning in Istanbul, a Turkish company's decision to sever business ties with the U.S. military in Iraq appears to be paying off. That was the demand of Iraqi militants who have been holding a couple of Turkish hostages. They plan to set them free. Another group of militants with ties to terrorist Abu Musab al-Zarqawi has decided to set free 3 other Turks in an expression of solidarity with their Muslim brethren in Turkey. U.S. government will be handing over Saddam Hussein and several other officials of his once powerful Iraqi government to the new government in Iraq tomorrow. The nation's prime minister, Iyad Alawi, made the announcement in the past hour. Latest development on Hussein has been one of the making of for some time. Speculation has it that yesterday's transfer of sovereignty and the impending transfer of Saddam are politically timed by the Bush White House. Disturbing news this morning from the Time magazine Baghdad bureau chief, Michael Ware, who believes the Bush administration has cultivated the atmosphere for a jihad against the United States in Iraq. Journalist Ware was the guest of Morning's Edition on Air America.
Disciples of Osama bin Laden have come into this country.
Their money is now fueling the resistance. And they've internationalized the resistance. It's no longer a resistance against occupation. This is Osama bin Laden's holy war, ready to fight the infidel wherever it appears. And we've given them the platform to fight. They're coming here.
Journalist Michael Ware, as he appeared on Morning's Edition with Mark Maron and Mark Riley on Air America. Nation's High Court could not say it any stronger with respect to the Bush administration's handling of a U.S. citizen and foreign-born terror suspects. Court yesterday said the administration was way out of bounds by holding the suspects in what can be best described as legal limbo. The ruling concerned two high-profile cases in which the Supreme Court refused to endorse a central White House claim that the government has the authority to seize and detain terrorism suspects and indefinitely denied them access to courts or lawyers while questioning them. Air America Radio News, good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
The Graham Norton Effect continues this Thursday night at 10, 9 Central on Comedy Central.
Graham Norton here. So, what do you want from a show?
I want a show that's not afraid of sex.
Good. Weird stuff on stage.
Right.
With plenty of celebrities.
Great.
A show that loves animals as much as I do.
Sex on stage with celebrities and animals. Absolutely.
The Graham Norton Effect. Peep show. Sideshow.
Talk show.
Continues this Thursday night at 10, 9 Central. Only on Comedy Central.
Students and graduates, listen up. You could cut your student loan payments by more than half. That's right, more than half with the federal government's free student loan consolidation program available from NextStudent. Every day, thousands take advantage of this money-saving program, and now you too can cut your federal student loan payments by more than half. Call 1-800-430-NEXT, and NextStudent will help you refinance your college loans and lock in on historically low federal interest rates. Right now, you could be paying twice as much as everyone else. Take advantage of this free program. It's easy to apply. There's no credit check, no out-of-pocket expenses, and in as little as 5 minutes, you can find out if you're eligible for this money-saving program. You could cut your student loan payments by more than half. Take advantage of this program, and you'll have loads of extra cash in your pocket. Call 1-800-430-NEXT. It's easy, it's quick, and it's free. But you gotta act now. Call NextStudent today at 1-800-430-NEXT. That's 1-800-430-NEXT.
When I started this company, our mission was to be the most useful and most ethical provider in the financial services business.
Charles Schwab, founder and chairman of the Charles Schwab Corporation.
When you're dealing with people's money, when you're dealing with their financial dreams, you've got to hold it with the greatest of care.
With industry-leading equity research, trusted investment professionals, and personalized advice, Charles Schwab offers investors a better choice when it comes to low-cost investing.
It's about service. It's about best value. It's about ethics. It's all those things. That's what we're about every day.
Join the more than 3 million investors at Charles Schwab and enjoy lower trading costs plus advice and unparalleled service. Call 1-800-7-SCHWAB or stop by your local Schwab branch today.
Some benefits, including advice and certain equity research, available for a fee only through one or more Schwab Personal Choice or other fee-based services. New trading commissions effective 6/21/04. Charles Schwab & Co. Inc., member SIPC and NYSE.
Randy Rhodes.
If you ever want to understand anything, first thing you got to do is make a timeline. I discovered it with the O.J. Simpson trial. In this case, with the thing with 9/11, it was just amazing to me because by the time the second plane crashed, it was only 9 o'clock in the morning, 9:03. Everyone in my house knew we were under attack. And what's amazing is that nowhere in the government is there television. You don't need Star Wars. We need DirecTV and stuff. Basic cable would have done it. That's all I had.
Randy Rhodes on Air America Radio.
Mark Maron, it's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good God! It's Tuesday! Today, a gentle reminder for President Bush in today's Recovery Corner, plus the legal defense that you won't find in the Ten Commandments. That's all coming up. Right now, I'm joined by Mark Riley.
Hey!
We are here having quite a morning. I got a clip. a clip. What is this, TV? Here, let's all watch a clip.
Yeah,
I've got a sound clip in a minute I'm going to turn on to you, but I wanted to throw this bone to all my fellow conspiracy theorists out there, and I'm a little late on this, I have to tell you, a little late. This came out June 21st. This is the Washington Business Journal, all right? And those of you who know will know. District-based investment firm The Carlyle Group is one of three investors that have agreed to buy Loews Cineplex Entertainment from Onyx Corporation and Oak Street Capital Management for $1.46 billion. You know, okay, so this the buyout is being led by Bain Capital. It doesn't matter. The Carlyle Group, all right, which has, you know, directors have included former President George Bush the First, Colin Powell, James Baker, British Prime Minister John Major. They own defense contracting. They were the ones that were in cahoot with the Bin Laden family. The Carlyle Group is at the matrix. It is the core of the matrix of, you know, modern conspiracy thinking and global domination. Well, now they're going to own one of the biggest movie theater chains in the country. How does that grab you? Now, this didn't go into effect yet, so don't start going, wait, the Michael Moore movie's being shut out. That's not what's happening. But I don't ultimately know what it will mean. I'm going to have to leave it to you conspirists, you conspiracy theorists, to, you know, maybe email me at sedition@airamericaradio.com or get on the blog with this stuff. But Carlyle is buying Loews Cineplex.
So does that mean that Larry Elder's movie, Michael and Me, now will have an extended run through? It'll be like the Rocky Horror Picture Show of its time?
Who knows? It really depends on how much you believe that the connections have, you know, certain connections have weight in dictating certain things, you know, but I believe it.
Well, I'll tell you what. Yeah, look, the Carlyle Group, over and above everything else, is about making money, which is, yeah, that's what irked me about that last clip we played of Bush. Like, he's trying to sell soap, you know, to the Middle East. Like, well, you know, democracy doesn't mean you have to watch Jessica Alba or Britney Spears or Christina Aguilera. Yeah. We have higher standards than that. Sure we do.
Yeah, have you seen his ads?
Yeah, right.
I mean, is it crass commercialism? I mean, this is a guy that's, you know, putting Hitler in his advertisements to assault Kerry. And let's do this, like, now, because, like, we've been saying this for months now, you know, Mark Riley and myself, that, you know, there was no terrorist-Iraq connection before this war. I mean, you know, Zarqawi was up in the no-fly zone. He was a freelancer. He was a subcontractor. He was a terrorist wannabe, you know, and now after that, this has all gone down now, after this unilateral, arrogant invasion on false premises, what's happened is Iraq has become the capital of global terrorism, where you have Baathists, you have Islamists, you have, you know, I just want to play this clip for you. We talked to Michael Ware an hour or so ago. He is the Time Magazine's Baghdad bureau chief, and it's mind-blowing. Let's lay it out there, Chris.
Well, look, with all due respect to the president and the administration, what we say we came here to prevent and to stymie, we have spawned, we have fostered it. These guys were hunting around for a platform to make jihad, to breed the new generation. September 11 was by the generation who fought the Soviet jihad. Well, they needed somewhere to blood the new generation, and we've given it to them. Look at Abu Musab Zarqawi, the leading terrorist here now, who's just been adopted back into the Al-Qaeda fold. Before this war, he was a marginal character, shopping himself around to different terrorist groups. Now he's a pin-up boy. Why? Because he had somewhere to come and play, and that was Iraq. They've now got camps, they've now got safe havens, and they're ready to go again. I've seen this all in Afghanistan. I was there for over a year. Sometimes now out in the bush here, I have to pinch myself to remind me that I'm not with the Taliban.
Wow. That's Time Magazine's Michael Ware, the Baghdad bureau chief. That is devastating, mind-blowing stuff. They have a united Islamist, a jihadist front that, you know, could span nations. I mean, the rest of the conversation, you were listening to the newscast talking about Osama bin Laden. Now, let's just go back for a minute. This president got us into this war under the premise that Iraq was a threat to our national security because it had nuclear weapons and chemical weapons. No. Iraq was a threat to our national security because it was in collusion with terrorists. No. Iraq, you know, the democracy thing, this handover thing, is a symbolic gesture. The democratization of Iraq that wasn't the reason we went over there. And now what we've created, and they didn't, he has not yet killed or caught Osama bin Laden. And now we have something worse than the Cold War. We have a united jihadist front that could span countries. And now this war could go on for eternity, for God's sake.
Michael Ware wasn't just making this up. He was not just speculating. If you listen carefully to the interview, and maybe we'll have a chance maybe to run it again on the weekend, he said that he had talked to people from Zarqawi's camp. Okay, from he said he spoke to Zarqawi's people. They're the ones telling him this is what their aim is. They're the ones telling him we are going to create an Islamist region in the Middle East.
So your theory is good, though. You know, you lay down that the Riley theory about the inverted neocon message.
Oh, yeah. It is a mirror image of what the neoconservatives, the Wolfowitzes, the Pearls, all of those folks, it is a mirror image of that. They wanted to create what they consider to be a democratic, Western-friendly region. Not one country, a region. And they figure, okay, we conquer Iraq. We kick their behinds, and everybody else will fall in the line. The Syrians will get rid of all their weapons. Everyone will just quake in their boots. And as I think one of them said, they'll be throwing flowers in the street when U.S. troops roll through.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't turn out to be that way. And now you've created a situation where there is a precise mirror image going on among Islamists who say now we want to control the hegemony of the region. We're the ones that want to control the destiny of the region. We want an Islamist, Wahhabist or Wahhabist, Sharia law.
Yeah, right. You know,
which, by the way, in Nigeria meant that a woman was almost stoned to death.
You know, it was Dick Cheney.
Yes.
Who made that comment about the flowers. And here you go. Here's a flower, Mr. American.
Thanks ever. As my dad used to say.
That was so in bad taste. I'm so sorry.
Yes, it is, but hey. Yeah.
So we'll come back on
more
serious
stuff. We won't make up for the bad taste, but we'll do something else.
What's wrong with me? My timing is so bad sometimes. Stay tuned for more of me and Mark on Morning America. Morning America.
Morning America.
Morning Submission on Air America.
Do you know that 7 companies decide the films you get to see? As a result, fewer and fewer truly groundbreaking films are being released. So you, as a moviegoer, have less access to anything other than the standard Hollywood fare. Hi, I'm Larry Maestrich, founder of Film Movement, and producer of films such as Sling Blade and You Can Count on Me. Film Movement is a true grassroots movement of film fans who want greater access to alternative voices in film. Each month, subscribers to Film Movement receive an award-winning independent film to own on DVD, directly from top film festivals such as Cannes and Sundance. Subscribe to Film Movement through Air America at airamericaradio.com in June and receive a free copy of The Party's Over, a critically acclaimed documentary narrated by Philip Seymour Hoffman about the state of democracy in America. Everyone deserves access to the best new releases. These films deserve to be seen. Help us support independent thinking by joining Film Movement or giving Film Movement as a gift for Father's Day or graduation. Subscribe today at airamericaradio.com.
And financial markets today.
The Dow is up, the Nasdaq is down.
Wall Street today.
This is the sound of what's running our world, the corporations.
Within less than 10 years, a handful of global companies will own directly or through license the actual genes that make up the evolution of our species.
We just paid $3 billion for these television stations. The news is what we say it is.
Now there's The Corporation, an acclaimed award-winning documentary set to explode in theaters across the country. The San Francisco Bay Guardian calls it brilliant, hilarious, and chilling. The Economist says people on both sides of the globalization debate should pay attention. See The Corporation. You can't afford to miss it.
I'm convinced that a few people are going to leave this movie theater and go and do something, anything, to get this world back in our hands.
The Corporation, a Zeitgeist Films release, opens June 30th at New York's Film Forum. Visit thecorporation.com.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies.
All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLO-NASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies.
Huh?
Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLO-NASE. Allergy rewards program subject to eligibility.
Seventeen past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley on Morning Sedition.
Hey.
You're listening to Air America Radio. It's now time for the presidential palm pilot. My buddy downloaded this. He was on the plane in Turkey while he wasn't looking the president. Here's the schedule. 7 o'clock a.m. Wake up. Still in Istanbul. God, I hate South America. 8:45 a.m. Leave Hotel Istanbul Convention Center. Stop at Bazaar. Buy magic lamp for $6 billion. Note, make sure this technology doesn't fall into the wrong hands. 10:20 a.m. Photo op with leaders of the Adriatic Charter countries. Tell them I'm committed to the fight against Adriatics and other sexually transmitted diseases. 10:35 a.m. Attend Euro-Atlantic Partnership Council family photo. Tell them the bombing starts in 5 minutes. Come on, it was funny when Reagan said it. 10:45 a.m. Attend working session of Euro-Atlantic Partnership Council family. Be the family member that naps. 2:10 p.m. Address event. Galatasaray University, Istanbul. Tell students if they study, they've got a 1 in 4 chance of getting a good-paying job before the next earthquake hits. 3:40 p.m. Leave Istanbul, but not before I see Constantinople. 6:55 p.m. Arrive at Andrews Air Force Base. Avoid flag-draped coffins. Not here, right? That's the truth, right? 9 p.m. Begin participation in working session of the NATO-Ukraine Commission. Hand over sovereignty of actual work to others. 10 p.m. Lights out. Rub magic lamp. Rub it again. Damn. There you go. Now I'd like to open up. We're going to talk about Bush's polls. Bad. Bad.
Yeah.
But I want to read this again because I thought this was a beautiful description. It comes from The Guardian. James Meek in Baghdad wrote, "Something happened in Baghdad yesterday, but what exactly? What we know is that somewhere in Saddam Hussein's sprawling former cantonment on the banks of the Tigris, behind silver miles of new razor wire, behind high concrete barriers stronger than most medieval fortifications, behind sandbags, 5 security checks, U.S. armored vehicles, U.S. armored soldiers, special forces of various countries and private security guards, behind secrecy and a fear of killing so intense that none save a handful of people knew it had happened until after it was over, an American bureaucrat handed a piece of paper to an Iraqi judge, jumped on a helicopter, and left the country." That to me really perfectly sort of isolates and illustrates that moment of handover. No ceremony, no parades, out of fear of the explosion or whatever. Clearly that's partially true, but it's not stopping our president from celebrating this this symbolic handover of power. You know, after talking to Michael Ware earlier and him telling us about how Bremer disbanded the Iraqi army, that the Iraqi security forces are almost useless because of their inability to be loyal to the American cause there and possibly, you know, turn around and start shooting at Americans, it's chaos.
Well, they don't want to be seen by their people in their country as collaborating with an occupier. And yesterday's handover, make no mistake, has not reduced America's role or certainly the perception among Iraqis that America is, in fact, an occupier. As long as there are 160,000 troops, 80-90% of them American, that are going to be in that country and that are going to be backing up whoever it is that is trying to enforce the laws among Iraqis, you're going to have a very serious problem of perception, not just in terms of the Americans being occupiers, but of the Iraqi police force, military, however they construct it, as being collaborators with the occupiers. And that means that they're fair game just like the Americans are.
Well, it's just going to be interesting. Like we talked about with Michael Ware earlier, was that, you know, what are the possibilities now that this handover has taken place that Alawi, you know, will, you know, enforce a sort of a type of military rule.
Martial law, maybe.
Yeah, not unlike the Baathist. But what if he starts, you know, really, you know, playing on the terrorists' own, you know, own field? What if he starts, you know, just massively, you know, executing people and anybody who's, you know, collaborating with the terrorists and treat them as violently as they are treating others? Then, you know, the Americans will be held responsible for that as well, because we are sort of condoning this.
Well, absolutely. And what you're talking about are the possibility of reprisals, serious reprisals. We have seen situations, again, this thing I saw last night on television, where you're talking, and this was about the German resistance at the end of World War II, and you found that the Americans, the Soviets, the British, and the French all began almost instantaneous reprisals against people who were trying to, you know, they were the equivalent of terrorists at that time. They didn't, and it was funny because they interviewed a German guy who was part of this group, the werewolves. He said, well, we didn't see ourselves as terrorists. We saw ourselves as trying to get rid of the occupiers of our land.
Right.
See, because in the end, it all is about land. I mean, people go back and forth about religion and about ideology and about oil and about all these things. But in the end, it is about land.
Well, there's apparently there's no hiding the fact that the Islamists, they're the jihadists, who are under the sort of the agenda of Osama bin Laden, which was one of the reasons we went into Afghanistan, was to kill bin Laden, which the Americans did, this administration did not succeed in that.
No.
And now he rules, or he, you know, his jihad agenda is in place in, I guess, northern Iraq, where they can't even start to go in there.
They got him in northern Iraq. They got it on the Afghanistan-Pakistan border. Musharraf will not, the president of Pakistan, will not go after them on Pakistani soil because he will anger and alienate the Pashtuns, and that could create a problem for him in his own country. You have all these different situations. And remember, you know, there is Islamic stuff going on in places like Chechnya that we don't even know about.
Right. And okay. once they all start becoming, you know, active franchises of the bin Laden manifesto or the bin Laden agenda, you know, then you have a sort of pan-Islamic jihad going on that could get a lot more organized because of this president's unilateral decision to go into Iraq for reasons that were false.
Were false. And, you know, people don't understand, I think, Mark, in a lot of these cases, how dedicated these folks are. And I happen to think they're 100% wrong, okay? This kind of religionism bothers me greatly, as I'm sure it bothers you. But the bottom line here is these folks are determined, they are better organized than we think they are, and they're very, very fluid. They know how to procure weapons. They know how to keep away from the Americans. Remember, no one, with the exception of the guy that they shot in Saudi Arabia, after he beheaded Paul Johnson. With that exception, they haven't caught any of these people. Zarqawi, free. Bin Laden, free.
What is that about, man? I mean, it's so suspect to me because I'm such a paranoid conspiracy theorist that sometimes I think that they, you know, that part of their agenda was to create an eternal enemy, to create an eternal war, to constantly generate that type of revenue and to create that kind of fear to maintain control. I got some Kerry reaction.
Yes.
to the handover. The question should, this is John Kerry, I'm quoting, "The world is far more tattered and volatile than it was when this president came into office, and I believe one of the reasons is the ill-advised way that he went into Iraq. The question should appropriately be asked by all Americans, why do we have a president who 4 years into his term is in a state of repair or disrepair? We deserve a president who knows how to get it right from the beginning." You know, he's reacting, you know, fairly, you know, diplomatically, obviously, but, you know, John Kerry is definitely a guy I believe can bring a new, you know, international, you know, sensibility to what's going on. He can sort of reinstate our presence in the international community, I believe is true.
But you know what? He's got his work cut out for him. And that is not his fault. It is the extent to which this president has put this country in a deep, deep hole.
Absolutely. And this is what I wanted to say before I started rambling about like, I like, you know, when you start talking just because you can't find the thing you wanted to say. Well, anyways, what I was saying was true, but nonetheless, here's what he's saying is Kerry. Oh, here we go. The Iraqi. This is from Mr. Schmidt, Steve Schmidt. As a spokesperson for the Bush campaign, quoted after the John Kerry statement, the Iraqi people made history today, and so did John Kerry with his unprecedented pessimism about today's progress in Iraq. Kerry revealed his cynicism when he complained that not enough of the money he voted against is being spent and that the contributions of NATO and our allies aren't real. Well, look, you know, how can you not be pessimistic? Three Americans were killed today. You know, how can you not be pessimistic when, you know, George Bush created a terrorist factory out of Iraq? How can you not be pessimistic? It seems that pessimism is the right way to think in terms of being a Democrat, in terms of being a human in this country, in terms of being someone who believes in democracy. We should be pessimistic, and we will be pessimistic until this president is out of office.
You know, it's interesting. We were talking earlier, Mark, about the extent to which this interim government will use the same tactics as the terrorists in trying to quell terrorism inside of Iraq. And Iraqi Defense Minister Hazim Shalan told Newsweek, and I'm quoting here, "We will hit these people and teach them a good lesson they won't forget. Americans and allied forces have certain restrictions we won't have."
See, I knew this. I knew this was going to happen. I'm glad I asked that about to Michael. Where is it? And now we've got some sort of, you know, proof here. Is that, you know, now America is going to be supporting a military regime that will be as brutal as the terrorists are, which, you know, is not the way Americans behave.
Well, I mean, after another suicide bombing, a couple days after he made that quote, Iraq's defense minister said, quote, "We will cut off their hands and behead them." Can they be any clearer about what their plans are? Again, you know, when you look at how the United States and the Soviet Union and France and Britain dealt with German resistance, what did they do? They were brutal. And I mean, they were extremely brutal in repressing that resistance. And that's what these Iraqis are going to try and do.
Is it going to work? Does that work? I mean,
no.
this is something. We got to go here in a minute. I want to take your calls about this stuff. What do you think about that? What do you think about, you know, us being part of, you know, a military reaction that includes beheading and taking people's hands off? 866-303-2270. 866-303-AAR0. Give us a call on the other side. Oh, I'm sorry, Mark.
That's all right. We'll be right back here on Air America Radio.
It's a scorching hot day. Imagine being trapped in a parked car. The temperature inside is rising. Now imagine that you're wearing a fur coat. Leaving your dog in a hot car is not only uncomfortable, it's dangerous. If it's too hot for you, it's far worse for him because, unlike us, he can't perspire to cool down. And within minutes, the temperature, even with the windows down a little, can exceed 100 degrees. So on warm days, please be kind. Leave your dog safely at home.
For more information, contact PETA, 757-622-PETA.
While you can't see brilliant colors on the radio, you can use them in your business. That's why the Xerox WorkCenter M24 digital color copier printer is attractive to anyone who listens to the voice of reason. The lease price is a low $189 a month. You get brilliant Xerox color for less than 9 cents a page, plus the Xerox total satisfaction guarantee. To get all the colors you can't see on the radio, do the most reasonable thing.
Call 1-800-ASK-XEROX for business lease details. Additional per copy charge.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning, I'm Wayne Gilman. President Bush, in a past hour, told a gathering in Istanbul that democracy must be chosen. Critics are already saying that's in sharp contrast to what he was saying a year and a half ago when he decided to invade Iraq. A new New York Times, CBS News poll says President Bush's popularity with American voters continues to wane. Polls indicate that Americans are increasingly becoming hardened by their opposition to the administration's handling of the crisis in Iraq. Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry continues to gain ground on Bush. Yesterday, the presidential candidate said Iraq should be stabilized and enough money had been set aside to change the atmosphere for the better there. And the leadership of the News Corporation and Fox Broadcasting CEO Rupert Murdoch warned yesterday that unless failing public schools across the country are turned around, children will be losing jobs to better educated youngsters half a world away. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep. the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free Better Sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
Make every day bolder. Introducing the new, bolder taste of Maxwell House French Roast. You told us you wanted a more full-bodied coffee? We listened. Today we custom roast our beans for a new, bolder flavor. Try the new taste of Maxwell House French Roast. It's a bold new way to make every day good to the last drop. Maxwell House.
Unfiltered.
Hey, this is Liz.
And this is Rachel. On the next Unfiltered, in the latest installment of the executive branch land grab, we take a look at enemy combatants.
The Supreme Court has ruled, but what did they really say? Can you still be hauled up the street without charges? I guess you can get a lawyer, but when? Today? Tomorrow? After the election?
We try to make some sense of it all on the next Unfiltered.
Liz Winstead, Chuck D., and Rachel Maddow, Air America Radio.
Hey, it's Mark Maron here on Morning Sedition with Mark Riley. You're listening to Air America Radio.
Hey!
It's been a great, great, engaging morning, and we're taking your calls now at 866-303-2270. We got Marguerite in Maine. How are you?
Good morning.
I'm well, thanks.
Oh, great. What's on your mind?
I just want to thank you guys for being angry and for being pessimistic. That anyone would think that is an entirely called for has not been obviously paying attention in the least. I listen to this network every day, and it's been a real godsend for us living in the Fox News world, et cetera.
Oh, great.
I've done some volunteer work for the Kerry campaign. I'm just angry and pessimistic about Bush, and obviously everything that's happened to the country in the 4 years, I'm horrified about it. One of the things I'm encountering, and for example, I went in line here in Portland. We had a theater, of course, showing Fahrenheit 9/11.
Yes.
And I was walking up and down the line with others, just signing up volunteers, registering voters.
Right.
A lot of people, surprisingly enough, say 50-50. Some people were uninterested in talking or getting involved, and some people, thankfully, were really enthusiastic and thankful people were there. I just want to say you guys have a lot of influence, I think, especially with young people and with all your listeners. And I think it's important that people not only be angry, but channel their anger into some kind of action. And it doesn't mean you have to spend, quit your job and do this full time, but...
Yeah, at the very least, get out and vote. Take the half hour off. Go out and vote. I mean, what she's saying is true. A lot of people don't think their vote counts because of the way the election system is structured. But believe me, if you vote and the popular vote is undeniable, then, then we will meet our ends. And if you're too lazy to vote, I mean, just remember it's your civic duty. And all you got to do is take the half hour off of work. Take the 45 minutes, the hour, go vote. Even if you think it doesn't matter. So what? Go vote. If you think it doesn't matter, go vote for Kerry. How about that? If you think your vote doesn't count and you're on the fence about voting, just do me a favor. Go vote for Kerry. Who do we got now? We got Lee. How are you, Lee? What's going on?
I'm doing okay, guys. I'm doing okay.
Hey.
I love the show.
Thanks.
I just wanted to say, and I think your last caller actually rendered me redundant, but if this isn't a time, the Republicans have this centerpiece in their ad campaign now of, this is not a time for pessimism and rage. If this isn't a time for pessimism and rage, when is?
That's right. Pessimism. To be pessimistic about this administration is to be optimistic about America.
It's true.
That's what I think. I mean, it's such a ridiculous, ridiculous new platform they have. That's all they can hang on the Democrats. That's all they can hang on Kerry. They tried to make him look like some sort of flip-flopping, anti-American, freak overtaxing. So, you know, and it's none of it sticking. You know, I guess in some of the polls, some people aren't sure about Kerry yet, but they will be. And the truth of the matter is that it's important to be pessimistic. If you're not pessimistic, given what's going on with this administration on this planet today, then you're delusional. You're out of your mind. You're stupid. Hey, who do we got now? Bill. How are you, Bill?
Hey, Bill.
How you doing, Mark?
Good.
How's it going?
Good, man. What's up?
Mark, listen, I did want to talk to you about what the previous caller was saying and say we can engage these people in discussion.
Yeah.
A lot of things that happen, times, you know, we get caught up in a wave of this, whatever it was, national pride or whatever.
Right.
And we get swept along. And the common sense people, people who have to, you know, think, can take these thoughts into a conversation and
yes.
sort of break this wave up a little bit.
Right.
And start to feed, you know, the right idea, a broader idea. You know
okay.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right. That's it.
No, thanks, man.
Thanks, buddy.
Well, thanks for calling, Bill. I mean, look, I agree
what,
with Bill.
What was that about exactly?
No, I agree with Bill to the extent that there are people.
Okay. I mean, you know, I appreciate the call, but I think he said, yeah, take it easy, Mark. You know, we can talk like people here. It's basically what I said. You're right, and I appreciate your call, Bill.
Well, no, wait. I mean, see, here's the thing. If we're not going to get 75% of the eligible electorate to the polls this year, which we probably won't, even with the interest that this election is generating, then we have to reach out to people who we may disagree with about certain issues,
right?
But still get them to see precisely what it is we're talking about.
Yeah, I think that what happens is sometimes I get worked up and I start throwing the word stupid around, and you know, and then I forget that like I'm a voice coming out of a little speaker next to somebody's head. You know what I mean? Maybe they're just waking up. They've set their alarm to the radio, and it's me going, "Hey, you're stupid!" If you don't, it's like, I just woke up. You know what I mean? But yeah, I appreciate it. You're right, though. We're going to disagree on some things, but the compromise to be made is the compromise for the right thing to do, which
oh, yeah.
is get rid of this president. I mean, without a question. Dustin in Texas, what's going on in Texas?
Hey, Texas.
Yes.
How
what's
are
up?
You, Dustin?
I'm doing fine. How about you guys?
Good.
Pretty good.
All right, great. Hey, I just want to give you, I had a couple of things, and I'll make it quick. I'm actually an independent. I listen to America Left and America Right. I like
uh-huh.
to be objective on both sides.
Yeah.
I just don't understand. I understand everybody calls in, and you guys are pessimistic, and there's a lot of things I don't agree with how we got over there, but we're over there. These guys are beheading innocent people that aren't even soldiers, and I don't understand why you guys don't recognize that and say, look, let's do whatever it takes to defeat these people instead of just dogging the administration.
I'll tell you what the problem is, Dustin. When you start talking about whatever it takes, I'm not sure people are willing to stomach whatever it takes. Again, I would refer you to what happened during World War II and what people did to affect whatever it takes. And it involved killing large numbers of civilians. It involved American soldiers killing large numbers of civilians. They were successful in breaking the back of the Nazi resistance, but do you seriously think in the year 2004 Americans are going to sit still for images coming back from Iraq doing whatever is necessary to stop this?
Well, I know we're getting tired of the images of innocent people being beheaded over there.
I agree with you 100%, but do you have the stomach for seeing people being shot by American troops there? Blindfolded,
what?
Tied to a stake and shot?
When does that happen?
It happened at the end of World War II.
I mean, but what makes you think that's going to happen right now?
Well, if you're talking about doing whatever's necessary to break the back of this thing, I'm telling you, I think that is what would be necessary. What do you think is necessary?
I don't know what's necessary, but I don't think that we would do that. I
know we
right,
wouldn't
right,
do that.
Right.
That's the whole point.
Right.
That is exactly the point. And if we're not prepared to do that, what are we doing there?
Okay. Well, I agree. Who knows what? I'll let you go after this. I just have one other thing I'd like to bring up. You guys earlier, like I said, I'm an independent, so I don't want, you know, I'm just kind of looking both sides of the story. But I heard you guys earlier say that Iraq has now become the breeding ground, thanks to President Bush, for terrorism.
Yes.
Now, let's just look at it this way.
Okay.
This was not. These guys didn't just come out of the woodwork in a year.
Yeah, well,
right?
A lot of them did. A lot of them
actually did.
Can we? Well, I'm just saying, it was taught, and you cannot sit here and tell me that during the Clinton administration for 8 years, this did not fester.
Well, it festered in Afghanistan, and had they finished the job in Afghanistan or even stayed there long enough to get it under manageable, you know, to assess where they were and what was really going on, what happened was after Afghanistan happened, they made the run to Iraq because they could, for no other reason. They sold it to America on a lie, and they left all of this unfinished business in Afghanistan, and now a lot of these terrorists, including Osama bin Laden, which we went after initially but have not killed, have become able to reorganize, and many of them are in northern Pakistan and also in Iraq, and they're recruiting. I mean, a lot of them did come out of the woodwork because of Bush. Thanks for your call.
I'll say this. I don't think that they came out of the woodwork because of Bush. I think they were already there, and they were going to come out, be it this year, next year, or 3 years
from now.
He just forced them out from underneath the rock, and let's go ahead and face them right now.
That's a speculation. I appreciate your call, Dustin.
But, see, I don't think Dustin, again, and he admitted that he doesn't have the stomach to when you start talking about taking these people on, this is not like going out and getting in a wrestling ring. It's not a video game. The blood that spilled here is real.
But this whole idea that that we're there now. I mean, it doesn't mean we can't assess how we got there. And we're very optimistic about America, but we're pessimistic about this administration. And we've got more of that coming up after this. Stay here on Air America Radio.
Need cash fast? Call Fast Cash Loans by phone. You can get a paycheck cash advance up to $500 deposited straight into your checking account. Call 1-800-279-3114. Even if you have poor credit or no credit, you can get fast cash. Every day, Fast Cash helps thousands of Americans make ends meet. So if you need cash, don't sweat it. Call Fast Cash now at 1-800-279-3114. When you call, you can get a fast cash application sent to you within seconds. The money you need is deposited straight into your checking account. There's no embarrassing trip to a loan store, no more borrowing money from your family. So if you need cash fast for any purpose, call 1-800-279-3114. You can get up to $500 deposited straight into your checking account. It's quick and easy to apply. And you can have the money you need within 24 hours. So call Fast Cash now. 1-800-279-3114. That's 1-800-279-3114.
If you want to do more with your home improvement project and with your budget, you can. The Home Depot can show you how. If you want to know more and know you're getting the lowest price every day, you can. Others try to get by on just a promise, but the Home Depot comes through time after time. It's how we were built. With a solid history and pure passion for bringing you the lowest possible prices on everything from washers and bolts to washers and dryers. When you buy as much as we do, you can afford to sell for less. That's the power of buying power. Simple stuff, just like our 10% price guarantee. If you ever find a lower price somewhere else, the Home Depot will beat it by 10%. Plus, if you want to get special finance offers that let you buy now and pay later, you can. Just ask an associate for details. If you want to pull it all together and know you're making your dollars and your dreams go farther, you can. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
Gary Boland, COVID technician on reality television.
Oh, you mean the news?
On global warming.
I love summer.
And on business broadband.
I'm glad you asked. You know, the key to choosing broadband is the same as any business decision. It's value. At COVID, you get broadband built for business for less than the local phone company's repackaged residential plans. In fact, your business could save hundreds of dollars a year with COVID. Plus, with the security of SDSL dedicated lines and 99.9% uptime guaranteed, you can relax, knowing your business isn't going to hit a brick wall. Now, I could go on.
Gary Boland on astrology.
Well, I've always wanted to go to space.
Business broadband. COVID knows it like nobody else. To get broadband billed for business, call 1-800-555-0454. Plus, get a free router after mail-in rebate through June 30th, 2004 when your business signs up at 1-800-555-0454 or gocovid.com. See website for guaranteed details and availability. Saving based on published rates, March 10, 2004.
Welcome back. It's 45 after the hour. I'm Mark Maron. I'm here with Mark Riley. It's Morning Sedition, Air America Radio. We're about to do Recovery Corner. We're taking your calls, 866-303-2270, 1999. Al-Qaeda had trained about 10,000 terrorists worldwide. The new strategic Institute of Strategic Studies Strategic Survey reports the new number is 18,000 terrorists trained worldwide. So, yes, they are coming out of the woodwork. Right now, I am Mark, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Mark.
Hi. Today in Recovery Corner, I reached out to fellow 12-steppers who are struggling to stay clean and sober. As always, I am offering my counsel to my temporary sponsee, George W. So I guess you're feeling pretty good about handing over power to the Iraqis. Big man, world leader, self-sacrifice. But if you were so proud of it, why did you do it in the middle of the night on Sunday? I'll tell you why. Because all you handed over was responsibility. That's the story of your life, George W. Let somebody else do it. First at Yale, then the National Guard, then your bankrupt oil business, then your baseball team, now the presidency. You think this handover is just one more item off your plate? Well, guess what? I'm on your plate, and it's time to bust your table, little boy. I'm not your mommy, and I'm not going to pick up your dirty socks anymore. The only thing you should be handing over is your ego to your higher power. Do you understand what I'm saying? Get sober, buddy. Act sober. Remember, bend your knee before you bend your elbow. Sorrow is looking back. Worry is looking forward. You received without cost. Now give without charge. There is no chemical solution to a spiritual problem. If we don't grow, we got to go. Get to a meeting, GW. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Now we've got Mateo in Manhattan. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Mateo.
So, yeah, I think you're absolutely right in that people need to be angry. And the people need to do what they can do.
Right.
But I think one of the things, especially since the last caller said, I think what they were trying to express was that this isn't a problem right now that just sort of appeared out of nowhere and that can be wholly placed on the Bush administration.
No, I obviously.
Get these guys out of there. But, you know, Clinton and other administrations in the past have done their part to set the stage for this.
Yeah, most prominently Ronald Reagan. You know,
right.
But,
Clinton, too.
But Clinton took a couple of shots at him. It wasn't like he was just running scared. He put into place the anti-terrorist,
Right, and he bombed Iraq.
Yeah. And remember, too, that it was Donald Rumsfeld in 1983, under Ronald Reagan, who was in Iraq shaking Saddam's hand, smiling.
Of course. And I think that's another problem that people don't realize, and I think that this is where anger can come in, because if we want to be part of this democratic society, we need to stop with this attitude of the lesser of two evils. I don't see much, like personally, I don't see much of a difference between Clinton and Kerry in their geopolitical strategy.
Whoa, wait a minute. We've got a president that's alienated the entire international community. And believe me, that any president, you know, who was willing, no, I know that, but, you know, but what I'm saying is that, you know, any president that, you know, wants to, you know, reach out again and try and reestablish, you know, the America stance in the international community and hopefully get some sort of, you know, global intelligence system going so we can address this problem, you know, reasonably.
Right.
Go ahead. That's all right.
No, but I understand that's true, and I think what Kerry is doing is what I think he needs to definitely fix something that's been greatly damaged.
Yes.
That's true. But when you talk about America standing in the United States, you know, in the world and all this stuff, are you talking to the American people? Are you talking about this sort of humane attitude that we have? Or are you talking, once again, about American interests, business interests? You're talking geopolitics here. You're not talking democracy. You're not talking about what it means to the individual human. Because until we understand how do we weigh a human life against the geopolitical situation.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
That's the question we need to come to. And I think liberals, mostly, I've gotten this attitude that, well, yeah, I know, that's the way he is, but.
Right.
It's like, well, you're not, you know, I don't quite understand that. I mean, I'm not a conservative, but.
Yeah, I understand. You're just trying to be intelligent about it. Thanks for your call.
Well, look, I mean, there is something that flows from what he's talking about, and that is, we as Americans have no clue, and this goes back, by the way, to Vietnam. We really don't know the impact and the effect that we have on civilian indigenous populations. We didn't know that about the Vietnamese. We don't know that about the Iraqis, and the Iraqis know we don't know it because our news doesn't tell us. We hear, well, X number of civilians died. Okay, so they died. But who are they? Do they have families? Is somebody walking around without an arm or without a leg or without some other limb? And we don't know. It doesn't get brought home. We do understand what happens to Americans.
Right.
We empathize with what happens to Americans. But we don't empathize, I submit, with what happens to the people we are occupying.
But obviously, business relationships do affect, you know, global, you know, geopolitical, you know, the policy
within
any region. And I think what he was trying to say is, what are we really talking about when we're saying, you know, let's rebuild the international community and let's rebuild the America's reputation within the international community? If that's in line with business interests or addressing business interests, if that is in collusion with creating some sort of global anti-terrorist intelligence network that operates and functions properly, then, you know, then that's what has to be done.
Well, yeah, and you know, the fact is, being a good citizen on the world stage is, in fact, good for business, too. Remember, business does not like to gravitate toward instability. I don't care where it is in the world. I don't
Are we going to continue with the calls? Because we got a lot of people on the phone. All right,
yeah,
we'll
let's
do that.
Talk to them on the phone.
Yeah, stay on the phone. We'll talk to you when we come back. Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Dr. Gary Gordon, Chief Medical Director at the world-renowned Gordon Research Institute, describes exciting new research guaranteed to solve your hair problem.
New data released by the FDA indicates that the body chemical dehydrotestosterone, commonly known as DHT, is the leading cause of hair loss. At our institute, we studied numerous hair loss treatments and found that Folinex is the most effective solution for stimulating new hair growth in balding areas. If you want to stop DHT from causing any further hair loss, then I strongly recommend that you try Folinex now. Folinex's DHT blocker has been used successfully for over 8 years by tens of thousands of men and women. Folinex is powerful enough to regrow hair on virtually anyone, we guarantee it.
Folinex is available for a limited time at half the price of other competitors. Folinex is guaranteed to work for you. So order risk-free now by calling 800-256-8214. That's 800-256-8214. Call 800-256-8214.
What happened to you? You look different.
I had the Diamond Vision Miracle.
The Diamond Vision Miracle? What's that?
Now I can see 20/20 without glasses or contact lenses.
I bet that's a relief.
A relief? It's a huge life change. It's a miracle.
It's time for you to be free of glasses and contact lenses through the miracle of bladeless LASIK from Diamond Vision. Diamond Vision is the number one LASIK practice in the tri-state area, with 6 convenient locations. And with customized bladeless LASIK, you can have sharper day and night vision than ever before. In fact, Diamond Vision has performed more custom view bladeless procedures than any other practice in the tri-state area. And they're the only ones who actually teach it to other doctors. Don't wait to see all that you can see. Schedule your free consultation online at diamondvision.org or call 1-800-984-2020. That's 1-800-984-2020. Also take advantage of their exclusive 24-month free financing. Call 1-800-984-2020. That's 1-800-984-2020.
What was that miracle again?
The Diamond Vision Miracle.
Call 1-800-984-2020.
When I started this company, our mission was to be the most useful and most ethical financial services business.
Charles Schwab, founder and chairman of the Charles Schwab Corporation.
When you're dealing with people's money, when you're dealing with their financial dreams, you've got to hold it with the greatest of care.
With industry-leading equity research, trusted investment professionals, and personalized advice, Charles Schwab offers investors a better choice when it comes to low-cost investing.
It's about service. It's about best value. It's about ethics. It's all those things. That's what we're about every day.
Join the more than 3 million investors at Charles Schwab and enjoy lower trading costs plus advice and unparalleled service. Call 1-800-7-SCHWAB or stop by your local Schwab branch today.
Some benefits, including advice and certain equity research, available for a fee only through one or more Schwab Personal Choice or other fee-based services. New trading commissions effective 6/21/04. Charles Schwab & Co., Inc., member SIPC and NYSE.
Morning Sedition, coming in for landing. I'm Mark Maron with Mark Riley. You're listening to Air America Radio. A couple of stories we said we were going to cover, we didn't quite get to, about a death row inmate in Georgia and also the Sudan. We will get to those first thing tomorrow if they are not covered, you know, ad infinitum throughout the rest of the day. But, you know, we kind of got, you know, preoccupied with this conversation about Iraq, which is, you know, of utmost importance.
Yes.
Claude in Long Island, how are you, Claude?
Hey, Claude.
How you doing?
Good, man. What's on your mind, buddy?
Well, I have a problem with what you answered to Dustin in that there's, you cannot go down the path of we don't want to see images of everybody dying all over the world just because we want to, you know, turn our face away from it. The issue is law, and the issue comes down to that we have to restitch the perception of Americans versus the perception of America now because of a capricious president that's sitting in the White House who's a traitor to the country and has now totally devoided the country of any standing in the world, and now we as Americans have to take the brunt of his acts.
Yeah, Claude, when I was talking about images coming back, I was talking about a hypothetical situation involving the possibility that Americans would react to the beheadings and that sort of thing in like fashion. In other words, if American troops started shooting people, beheading people, et cetera, what would be the reaction in America if those images started coming back here? I agree with you 100% about Bush. I wasn't saying, you set policy based on images. I just don't think Americans would tolerate those kinds of images or those kind of actions under the auspices of this government.
Nor would the world. I mean, it would certainly not do anything for our standing that Claude believes, and rightly believes, has been trashed by this president.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. One more quick caller. Quick call, Carlo in Manhattan, quickly.
Hey, Mark, how's it going?
Sorry,
hey.
Buddy, what's up?
You guys are excellent. I just want to have one thing to say to the analogy. You know, the Bush administration, they want to use the infestation as an analogy, fine. Well, the truth is that terrorism needs the right conditions to breed. They need space to train and group freely.
Right.
They need angry, confused, traumatic citizens to train and recruit, and they need public support from other media states and people. And
okay.
Bush has set the perfect conditions for this in Iraq. That's
exactly.
Why, I mean, terrorists are made; they're not born.
Right.
And the fact is that, you know, people call in and say, "Oh, we're just calling them out from behind the rocks." It's not the way it works. It's much more like an infestation, like a disease.
Yes.
You need the right conditions spread, and we've
Thank
given
you.
Them those conditions.
Thank you so
All
much,
right,
Carl. Thank you. That was tight, too, man. He got that was tight.
Quick, yeah.
Right, there's a liberal agenda. Carlo doing a fine summing up of what we covered all day today.
True.
Here it is. Here are your marching orders for today from the Streisand Compound. One, preschool agenda, juice, Fahrenheit 9/11, nap. Two, ask new government of Iraq when their public television stations will show Joseph Campbell and the power of myth. Three, draft petition seeking daycare for working terrorist mothers. It's hard to even joke about that. Four, call NASA. Make sure Saturn probe doesn't disturb indigenous Saturnians. Five, today's phrase, just drop it into conversation. Those beheaders must have serious self-esteem issues. There you go. It's been a great show. Really,
it has been a lot of fun.
Good hanging out with you, Mark, and all you people out there. Talk to you tomorrow.
Coming up on tomorrow's Morning Tradition, June 30th, a history-making day as the U.S. transfers sovereignty of Iraq to the interim government there. Did it a couple days early. Join us for this exciting historic day. That's tomorrow's Morning Tradition here on Air America Radio.
...100-pound bottles of French's.
Ah, my foot!
But we decided to give away $100,000 instead, just by any French's.